This is a viral clip. Alex Jones on the Joe Rogan podcast. And I think it was Eddie Bravo. That's the comedian's name, right?
Yes.
And he says to Alex, do you really think that they're taking aborted babies, like, you know, late term to experiment on? And Alex is screaming and ranting, yes, they had a vote on it. It's happening. And then all these articles come out saying Alex Jones is a crackpot conspiracy theorist. And now we have leaked documents. And Yahoo News is publishing this. Yahoo News. Come on. You want to come out and tell me the media is biased? Sure. They've republished the story. They're carrying it. And University of Pittsburgh was doing experiments on fetal tissue from aborted babies, some at 42 weeks old. For those that don't know what that means, in the UK at least, 37 weeks is considered full term. That's like a baby that could be born. You could do a C-section. The baby's alive. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., 40 weeks is widely considered to be a living baby. So they had aborted babies at 42 weeks and were doing experiments. I got to tell you, man, I read this. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely could not believe it. They were taking tissues. I hope you're ready for this, because this is not for the faint of heart.
Extremely
this is not
dark.
For your kids.
No.
This is dark stuff. I mean, YouTube might even take us down because it's how sickening this stuff is. But this is news, and it's being covered by a ton of outlets, and so I hope you're ready for this. They would take the tissue from these babies and graft it to rats.
Yep.
Five-month-old
aborted
stuff,
children.
Man.
Yikes.
Very, very dark stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. It's not going to be a completely dark episode, you know, show. We do have a bunch to make fun of Biden about.
Yes.
So it will laugh and we'll cry. So I hope you're ready for one of the more serious shows. Cause I saw this story and I was like, we got it. How could this be real?
Yeah.
How could the universities be doing this? And it's, you know, when Seamus mentioned before the show, we're a nation of tolerators. Mm-hmm. When people are just like, hey man, I'm going to mind my own business. It's like, dude, what's that saying? You know, all that is needed for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
That's yeah. right.
Well, let's talk about it. We are hanging out with we got a good crew. It's Friday night. We're going to have a chill night. We got Cassandra Fairbanks hanging out.
Hey.
You have do you want to make an announcement?
Oh, I got engaged.
Yes! Oh, good for you.
Well, Brett.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Also, PETA kills animals. Oh, yeah. Those are my two general announcements.
Jeez. This is such a dark episode.
Up and down, man.
Like laughing, man. Yeah, that's all you can do. We have Ian. He's chilling.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming, Cassandra. Please. What's up? What's a PETA thing? Well, let's do it after the intros.
Yeah, I'll go into that.
Well, I think we should talk about that after we have a discussion on what's been done to these innocent children who were killed and used for scientific experiments. I'm Seamus of Freedom Tunes. It was funny, when we started the show, or when we were going to start the show, we were doing the pre-show, I kind of had like a bit planned and some things we were going to joke about to call back to last episode and some jokes we were telling then, but this is just so dark that it kind of brought the energy down. But I think that's important. I mean, there are some topics that I think the audience should really hear about, even if it's not going to be extremely entertaining. And the reality is, we are a society of tolerators. We don't build things and we don't prevent people from destroying things. We just let other people act in our stead. My grandfather fought in the Second World War, and after 2 years of battling through Europe, he liberated the Flossenbürg concentration camp, and he was fluent in German. So he went to the local priest, and he asked him, how could you let this happen? People were being slaughtered near your town. You knew it was going on. You didn't do anything. And what the priest said was that the SS told him if he said anything or tried to do anything, they would come in and murder all of his parishioners. And I remember as a kid thinking about that and wondering, what would I do in that situation if people I knew and loved would be killed if I spoke out against evil? But here I am, and it's 2021, and we all have the opportunity to speak out about unborn children being slaughtered every single day, about human experiments being performed on completely faultless, defenseless human beings who were killed in the womb, about children who were killed after they were born so their organs could be harvested, and we don't say anything. Mm. And it has to stop. It has to stop. How will we be judged?
We're going to get into all that. We got Lydia pressing the buttons.
I am pressing the buttons. You guys all know that I am super pro-life. That is my hill to die. And I'm the one that sent Seamus this article that started all this nonsense because it's really bad. And I'm really hoping to open everybody's eyes a little bit to this. So hopefully it's not too dark. Hopefully we're able to kind of shed some light on it. Hopefully it'll be a pretty good night. We'll see.
You know, we had a bunch of jokes. Like Ron DeSantis was making fun of Joe Biden, saying his brain isn't all there. And we're all laughing and have a good time. And then we pull up the story and we're like, man,
this is the world.
Dude, things have been getting dark. I'll tell you this. We got a lot going on. I mean, the military coming out in Sydney to lock things down. Mm-hmm. You've got there's too much. The Apple spying thing. They always try to go, you know what? I want to save that because I want to keep that in the context of what they're doing to children. So go to timcast.com, become a member, help support our work, our fierce and independent journalism, and like this video, share the show with your friends. I don't know, man. I would say of all of the shows to share, this is probably the most important, but I don't know how many people are going to want to be like, look at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was reading the story, and I like, Seamus, like, what happened? I'm like, I don't even know if I want
to
read it to you.
Mm-hmm. I had to step outside after Tim was reading the details.
Need a moment.
I had to go outside for a minute. My daughter was born at 36 weeks, and she was a full person, I mean.
Yeah. Well, again, I believe life begins, I shouldn't just say I believe this, I mean, it is a fact that life begins at conception, but people clearly argue over whether an unborn child is a human. I think it's a ridiculous argument, but surely we're not arguing over whether a child that has already been born is human at this point, but evidently we are. And you mentioned that you mentioned 42 weeks. Well, I mean, they induce labor at 42 weeks.
I want to say something about this, so let's pull this story up right now.
Yeah, let's go.
And Alex Jones was right. Let me first give you some context. We have from Yahoo News, government-funded scientists sought out aborted minority babies for research. I mean, on top of that, it's racist?
What?
Like, I'm not even trying to make a joke about this. This is insane. Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh received at least $2.7 million in federal funds to study fetal organs and attempted to retrieve half their samples from the aborted babies of minorities, according to documents released Tuesday. Again, Yahoo News. The National Institutes of Health had overseen experiments on fetal tissue at the University of Pittsburgh since 2015 from aborted fetuses ranging from 6 to 42 weeks, or 2 weeks past what is widely considered to be full term. For the particular study in question, the grant request specified that half the samples must come from aborted fetuses of minorities, including at least 25% from African-American women, according to documents obtained by the Center for Medical Progress and Judicial Watch. Let me just stress, they say they were studying fetal organs. They retrieved them from some babies up to 42 weeks, and they had the nerve. Alex Jones, Joe Rogan war leads to conspiracy theory meltdown. InfoWars host says babies harvested for organs. Now, maybe that's a very extreme interpretation of it. What they're saying is, admittedly not much better, that the babies had already been aborted. So, you know, by all means, they can experiment on that stuff. But I'll tell you this, man. I want to say two things. First, when the law allows a baby at 42 weeks to be aborted, then someone can go, well, better not let the living baby go to waste. I'll tell you this. If a baby is at 42 weeks, and I'm going to operate under the assumption, you know, I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe the baby was stillborn or something like that. It's an aborted fetus at 42 weeks. They could have performed a C-section and that baby is alive. So this is beyond the pale. This is something.
I want to know what women were carrying babies for 42 weeks to get an abortion, to give it to science to use as a human guinea pig. Like, what kind of person carries a baby for 42 weeks?
Could it have been stillborn, maybe?
Like, That's not what the article says.
I know, I don't want to believe that our country, that universities, that they're funding this stuff. I want to be like, maybe it was...
Believe it, man.
I know.
Believe it.
Stillborn is a type of abortion, involuntary abortions.
Yeah, I mean, miscarriages are called spontaneous abortions sometimes, but what we are talking about is children who were being killed intentionally and then experimented on.
We know that 100%.
Well, we know this because... there was an expose done of Planned Parenthood back in 2015 where they went in with hidden cameras and found that higher-ups at Planned Parenthood were negotiating prices for the sale of fetal tissue. And in the footage, they were saying things like, oh, you know, whoever throws a price out negotiations first loses, and making jokes about the luxury cars they wanted to buy. It was really obvious that these people were selling this tissue for profit. And what the media repeatedly said was this footage is deceptively edited. It's not really happening. But the organization, headed by David Daleiden, I should mention, was putting the full unedited footage on the internet for everyone to see, which isn't what you do when you deceptively edit footage to try to trick the public. Now, Kamala Harris really went after him and did everything she could to prosecute him in California, and then very Catholic Joe Biden selected her to be his vice president, and as soon as he's in office, he repeals the Trump-era restrictions on federal funding for experimentation using aborted children. That is our very Catholic president. That is the devout administration under which we live right now.
Now, we got to be careful. That story, Planned Parenthood was awarded a lawsuit over that. They were awarded $2 million.
I know. I believe part of that was he didn't have their consent to film them. I mean, they were very clearly negotiating and haggling over the price for these unborn children that they had killed in order to sell them and turn a profit on it.
Is it that it was edited to make it look like they killed them, but in fact they had been
aborted
by the parents?
Oh, sure.
Now
it was Planned Parenthood, right? So what they do is perform abortions, and then they were selling the tissue after the fact.
I guess if a mother asks Planned Parenthood to abort the kid, who's the killer? Is it the mother or the
We don't need to bring the story up. We have a new story right now confirming.
No, I guess, sure. My point is that this is something we've known about.
Yeah.
Well, the issue there is, if we want this to be clean and straightforward and be able to tell people, when you're sitting down for dinner with your family members who don't believe you, mm-hmm. and you bring up that story, they're going to say, oh, they lost. Those people lost that lawsuit. Mm-hmm. They were liars. No, we have a story right now. We don't need to bring up the past. They're doing this. We have documents that were released. They are buying this stuff.
Yeah,
I don't care
sure.
where they're buying it from.
Yeah, no, I think both stories are still important, in part because, again, the full footage is available online for people to watch if somebody doesn't believe you. I think it's an easy argument to make.
The crazy thing about this is I hope your kids aren't listening, my friends, mm-hmm. because let me read this. All right. For the particular study in question, the grant request specified that half the samples must come from aborted fetuses of minorities, as we read. Projects funded by the National Institutes of Health must ensure appropriate inclusion of women and minorities. They should also ensure distribution of the study. They should also ensure distribution of the study reflects the population needed to accomplish the scientific goals. Seldon said that one of the goals is to support researchers looking for treatments and cures for kidney disease, which disproportionately affects minorities. Seldon added that researchers have no part in any decisions as to timing, method, or procedures used to terminate the pregnancy. CMP founder and president David DeLayden slammed the university in a statement on Tuesday. The NIH grant application for just one of Pitt's numerous experiments with aborted fetus infants reads like an episode of American Horror Story. Law enforcement and public officials should act immediately to bring the next Kermit Gosnell to justice under the law.
Amen.
The stuff that they were doing was absolutely insane. I don't know where we had that. So I had another story pulled up that was talking about the grafting of fat tissue, but I guess I can't find it. I don't know. Did it get removed?
Mm-hmm. I had a story pulled up about that here. I had some information about that here that I can pull up. That they were scalping 5-month-old. For the faint of heart. Ugh. They were scalping 5-month-old aborted fetuses to stitch onto lab rats.
Who said that? Who's here?
I have it. It's from Newsweek right here.
Oh, okay, gosh.
Yeah, it says, wonderful. In one study published last year, Pitt scientists described scalping 5-month-old aborted babies to stitch onto the backs of lab rats.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Wrote about how they cut the scalps from the heads and backs of the babies, scraping off the excess fat under the baby's skin before stitching it onto the rats. They even included photos of the baby's hair growing out of the scalps. Each scalp belonged to a little Pennsylvania baby whose head would grow those same hairs if he or she were not aborted for experiments with lab rats.
Now that's propaganda. It's a dead body. It's not
Hold
a baby
on.
Anymore.
What do you mean that's propaganda?
Like,
Ian, that's a child scalping sewn
well, someone,
to a rat.
I'm literally
for
reading
all I know,
Newsweek
someone
verbatim.
Chose to abort that child. And now to call it a baby is disingenuous because
it's not disingenuous.
It's a corpse.
They killed a baby. And okay, then it's a baby corpse and they're sewing its scalp to a rat.
Well,
you don't think that's a violation of human dignity and value?
They find the infant skin cells are good for like stem cells because they're so young and vibrant, I guess. So they use like stem cell experiments. They use infant and
that in no way justifies
fetal,
anything
aborted
of the sort.
Fetal
that
stem
doesn't,
cells.
That doesn't justify
I mean, it's why they're doing it with those cells, particularly scientifically. Not
I just
moral.
Don't. I don't understand why it's propaganda or how it can
because
be
they're like
moral.
If this child hadn't been, then it would have been a glowing
that's
baby.
A fact.
And
that's
like
not propaganda.
You don't know
a
that.
That's literally
Ian,
a fact.
How many weeks are in 5 months?
20 ish.
Finding from Newsweek, from 2015. Finding that babies born at 22 weeks can survive could change abortion debate.
Dude, this 42-week
thing is
insane.
Premature babies at 5 months can survive.
It's a 10-month abortion. 42 weeks?
Yep.
Is when that's insane.
That's
I think right. I'm in the one trimester camp, and then after that I think it's murder. I think it's alive. I think it has a brain. I think it's a human. But in the first, you know, couple, 3 months, it's still developing.
Listen.
It's a person. I mean, from conception, where else do you draw the line?
Like
when the brain is formed.
The thing I find the craziest about this is that this story is from May, and I write news all day for two websites, and I didn't hear any of these details about it. But all day today, I mean, everybody was outraged about Fauci killing puppies, which they should be.
Right.
But why isn't there the same outrage about literal, like, full-term babies?
Yep.
Like, agreed. This is, I mean...
We talk about, like, that infamous group of Japanese scientists that, you know, they were recruited. What was it called? Was that Operation Paperclip?
47?
Fahrenheit.
No. Operation, was it Paperclip? Were they...
Paperclip's where they brought all the Nazi scientists to the U.S.
Yeah. I believe that's correct.
The Japanese camp, there was a camp where they were like...
Unit 7...
Unit 747, I want to say.
No.
Unit 7 something.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, science is a brutal industry, that's for sure. I mean, they used to rip people...
Right? It's extremely unethical. Okay. Like, the science has to be restricted based on legitimate ethical concerns. There are certain things you shouldn't be able to do.
The Japanese scientists would, like, take a prisoner and stick their arm out of a door, like, into the cold and watch it freeze.
Yep.
And then, like, shatter it while the person was still alive in the other room to see what would happen to him.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
They say that what we know about frostbite largely comes from the Japanese doing research on live human beings.
That's horrible.
I mean, people talk about the Nazi experiments, like, you know, and rightly condemn them pretty much across the board. And then we're doing it here.
Yeah.
Like, we're literally doing it in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's crazy because people, I mean, look, people are comfortable with things like this happening as long as they never have to think about it.
Right.
They can know what's going on, but if it's not brought up, then they're able to sleep at night for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I know that after, for example, you know, the Second World War, I mentioned this earlier, my grandfather and his unit marched all of the townspeople through the camp to show them, this is what happened here. This is what you allowed. We have unparalleled technological infrastructure for communication. This information should be very easy to get to people. But the people who have access to the gatekeeping, more or less, don't want the information getting out there. And so... even when you do have access to the information, people will shame you for discussing it. So I know that there are some campus organizations and other pro-life groups that will show people what an abortion actually looks like, show people the aftermath of an unborn child that's been killed, and people consider that to be evil or cruel. The act of doing it isn't evil or cruel, but showing people a picture of it, that's unreasonable.
That's right.
What matters is no one ever has to confront what we're doing. We have to protect everybody's feelings. We have to make sure they don't feel guilty about what society is doing and about what the abortionists are doing and the fact that no one is standing up to stop it. The real crime is showing someone that they've supported evil, not the evil itself.
The important clarification for the sake of all of the fact checkers would be people are getting abortions and then doctors are buying the fetuses.
Yeah. Right. We don't want to conflate it that the doctors are murdering the children and taking. It's like the parents are authorizing
but they're complicit.
This stuff.
I mean, but you are complicit if you know that a child was aborted and you are receiving the tissue.
Let's try it a different way. Let's say that you're a researcher and you need fresh corpses that are, you know, from someone who died in the immediate, and there's a guy who somehow just keeps happen to have them all
so
for you
weird.
To buy.
Yeah.
You see, the problem I have with this is that They lobby for a thing to happen and then exploit the worst aspects of it in one of the most horrifying and disgusting ways. Like, I don't even know, man. This is
making me think of like industrial animal slaughter, because they'll not let people see that stuff either. They'll have like,
I got a problem with that too.
Pig farms,
also,
where there's
but
all
nobody
feces
says
and blood
but,
in the pools around,
and
the
that's all
sure.
bad.
It's
all
bad.
But they
but
won't let
says,
people. They
the
won't let people take pictures.
Yes, the animal,
right.
But
no
one
says
it's unethical.
They don't let you take photos of PETA ripping animals away from the sanctuaries that they're in, and they have the court siding with them and issuing gag orders on people and not allowing any filming.
But and also, Ian, the big
people
difference
like to hide
is
their crimes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, but I think there's another point here to be made, because there's a significant difference when somebody shows me an animal being killed. Right. And of course, there are more and less ethical ways to kill an animal. But I can still say I believe that it's OK to kill animals to eat them. If you show me factory farming, I can say this is the wrong way of doing it. But no one says it's cruel or inhumane or evil to show someone who has eaten meat what happens when you kill an animal in order to get that meat. But it's considered cruel and inhumane to show to people who are considering abortion what abortion actually looks like.
No, I think people get mad at you if you show them the factory farming process.
I think yeah. There are some people who will get mad at you, but generally speaking, people understand that they're being provided with more information. I think most people, including people who eat meat, understand that factory farming is really messed up.
It's really messed up, I've been to the farms where they have, like, the organic meat, and I was so impressed. I've told the story before where the cows are just, like, the door is open, there's no gate, and I'm like, what is this? And it's like, the cows are going to leave, and the farmer's like, where are they going to go? And I'm like, yeah, anywhere, and he's like, they got food here. Mm. And I was like, wow. And so the cows are happy, they live full lives, they have food, it's all automatic, and the farmer just lets them do their thing. And then I've also driven past the factory farms where the ground is sludge and they're all packed in, and it's horrifying and it smells.
I saw an undercover video at a factory farm of one of the guys, and what happens is people, either they find people that are already psychotic, no offense if you work at a factory farm, or people that are just willing to allow themselves to be okay with murdering. And what they'll do is they train themselves to see pig, that means it has to die. And they treat it like a piece of wood, like they'll pick up a baby and smash it on the ground till it's explodes its head, and then they'll like throw it in a pile, and there's like living animals screaming as they're getting hit.
They started passing these laws, what are they called, like ag gag. You couldn't film the horrible things they do. Like, dude, I'm all about, we're raising chickens. I don't know if we'll eat these ones because they're the stars of Chicken City, so they might get, you know, a pardon. But we're raising a couple babies, and I got no problem eating the animals and growing the vegetables, and you try and do it right. You know, we understand now. Some people don't eat meat because they don't want to cause suffering. They don't want, you know. For me, I'm like, well, you know, I'll hunt and I'll eat, but we're going to do it right. We're going to minimize suffering of the animal, and we're going to accept that this is part of the life cycle. But man, I've seen some of these videos where, like, I watched a guy like punt a chicken just for no reason. And I'm like, dude, it's because it's mechanized. It's just shuffle them in, they throw them in the grinder, and it's just. It's horrible, man. It's really horrible stuff to watch, you know. And I don't know what you do in that regard. People are definitely willing to tolerate that, but I'll tell you, when it comes to what they're willing to do to human beings,
exactly,
it's like, why would I be surprised that they horribly mistreat the animals who are already living horrible lives? When you can see what people are willing to do to each other,
exactly. When you look at what people do to other human beings, and it's no surprise that we have this unbelievably horrific warfare state where people are killed in other countries, and the United States government will either do it or support governments that will go to war and commit violence against civilians, like the Saudi Arabian government has been doing in Yemen. Because if I don't have an obligation to care for my own unborn child and it's okay for me to kill them, then why should I care about somebody on the other side of the world?
We need that.
We will not have world peace for as long as we have abortion. We will not.
We got... I don't know. I don't know what the root of this issue is. I know I can already hear many of the leftists saying it's capitalism. It's the, you know, they cut costs, they reduce costs. And I'm like, I don't think that's it. People want and will eat meat, and you end up with these really nasty situations. And not to mention what goes on with factory farming results in infected meat. And then they put like ammonium or something in the beef because of the bacteria
it preserves
growth.
It, yeah.
I tell you this, you guys, I have been saying get out of the cities for some time for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
I've been talking about, you know, growing your own food and raising your chickens for a while now. Where we live, we can drive 15, 20 minutes and be at a farm. And there's one farm nearby. It's like self-checkout. It's the craziest thing. I heard you walk in, there's nobody there, and they've got like freezers with the meat freshly harvested from like organic field farm raised animals. And you walk up, you grab it, you scan it, you pay, you walk out. Nobody's even there. I'm like, that's amazing. That's amazing. You can see the animals. We went to one farm and all the goats ran out and they were all yelling at us and we were laughing. And the goats have this nice little area and they're jumping up and down and they're dancing, having a good time. And I'm like, they're living it.
Yeah.
You know, we farm. It's what we do, but they're having a good time while they're here.
No, I agree.
It's like the luxury of like European agricultural life being out here, but with the value of the United States like product lines. Like you can order anything and receive anything by delivery, but we live like in this awesome farm.
Man, there's a lot of people in this country that don't care about anything, and that's what really bothers me. Mm-hmm. You know, because we pulled up the polling data the other day from Civics and saw that among Democrat voters, they think the economy is doing fairly good.
Fairly good.
And among independents and conservatives, they say it's fairly bad. Why? Because those are the people that are in reality. Mm-hmm. And so I genuinely think, like, you know, you look at people who live in rural areas who tend to be conservative. Like, they raise animals. They take care of their animals.
Yeah.
They're not living in cities where it's mechanized pollution
yep.
and waste and factory farming. To get enough food into those cities is very, very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, cities can be great for a lot of reasons. I know some people are like, hey, stop ragging on cities. I get it. Arts and culture can be fun. But the difficulty in bringing in resources into cities, it's crazy when you go to New York and you see how you can't park anywhere. There's delivery trucks on every road all the time because they got to get enough food in for the massively tall skyscrapers. It is not an easy thing to do. So they mechanize the process. They mechanize factory farms. They mass produce as much as they can. I tell you this, dude, when Alex Jones was here, there's another thing he was right about. And he told me, did you know you're eating cloned beef? And I said, no, we're not. We're not eating cloned beef. That's crazy. And then I Googled it.
Yeah.
We've been eating cloned beef. They clone the animals.
Wow.
That is mind-blowing how awful all this stuff is.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong vegetarian and yeah, very happy about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
You've never eaten meat.
No.
I mean, look, I got no problem eating meat.
I mean, before I was three, I think I did. I saw Bambi and it screwed me all up. My parents indulged me thinking it was a phase and my stubbornness, I just never ate it again.
I'll tell you.
Story.
As like, are you vegan?
Not currently. I've went through, you know, big like 8-year chunks of being vegan.
You've been vocally supportive of animal rights. Do you find that there's a through line with the abortion and animal agriculture?
I mean, I think that it's all terrible things that we're closing our eyes to. I think that factory farming is terrible. But I hate the animal rights industry also. And anybody who's been following me knows this very well. I think my current Twitter name is anti-PETA.
Your handle is, yeah.
All my homies hate PETA.
All my homies hate PETA. And I've dedicated my life to now destroying PETA in any way possible. I'm going to be meeting with senators next month, and I am working on a massive project, including probably a documentary about the evil stuff that they're doing. But people turn a blind eye to it because, like a lot of things, you know, you have like Antifa who claim that they're anti-fascist. That sounds so nice and lovely. And we all hate fascists. Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, actually kill more animals than a lot of these things that they're fighting. I mean, they got 3 chimps killed last year. They just seized 6 chimps from a very lovely sanctuary that I went and saw in person myself. So I think that people are just, you know, they like to think that they're doing good. People will donate to PETA without looking into the fact that they've killed 75% of all animals that come into their Virginia animal shelter. And people will be like, oh, we're pro-choice because women have a right to their body, and that's great and wonderful. But they don't think about the cost of any of those things. Mm-hmm. They don't think about what's really happening, what these organizations are really doing. And I think that it all kind of ties in together in a way that we all just like to look away from terrible things being done.
This is the nonprofit industry, you know. I worked for these fundraising organizations, and the reason they work is because you're going to people. And this is what I would actually tell people. You are selling hopes and dreams. You are selling absolvement of responsibility. Because when we would go out and we would fundraise for the environment or for specific any specific like advocacy, we'd be like, hey, you're busy. We get it. You can't actively do these things. So let us do it. Why don't you pitch in?
I worked for them, too.
That's right. And so people would be like, makes sense to me. Here's money. And then when I find out what they do with that money, I got really mad. I ended up jumping organizations like, oh, these people are bad. And then I realized, hey, wait a minute. That group was bad, too.
Yeah.
And then I realized, wow, they're like most of them are bad.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Poverty, Inc.?
No, what is
that? I would just recommend everybody check that out. It's sort of an expose on the organizations internationally that claim that they're lifting people out of poverty and through, you know, foreign aid and charitable works, improving circumstances in underdeveloped countries. But they're more or less in it for themselves. They don't really achieve the results that they claim they're going to. It's a very good documentary. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I wouldn't be able to do it justice in my summary, but I would recommend everybody check it out.
I was watching Rogan a little. I watch Rogan pretty much frequently, and he had a guest on. They were talking about the homeless industry in California, and they get, I don't know if it's billion. Is it over $1 billion a year? But what happens is it goes to the executives of these companies that are supposedly taking care, and they make 6 digits. $250,000 salary, $300,000 salary, $400,000. So it's so profitable for those people that they don't want to fix the problem.
Yes,
as long
as
they're working on the problem, they're making bank.
And this is why Thomas Sowell says, never put activists in charge of solving the problem. They make their money off of a problem being there.
Well, Ingrid Newkirk, actually, sorry to keep going back to PETA. I'm completely obsessed with taking them down. Ingrid Newkirk, the president of PETA, they brag all the time, oh, she only takes a $30,000 a year salary. Look at this great human. She really cares about animals, even though she's completely lobbying for all pit bulls to be eradicated, there to be no pets in human homes, including cats and dogs, and that she has personally killed thousands of dogs with her own hands. But she is worth millions of dollars despite taking only this $30,000 a year salary.
I can explain how this works. I can't speak for PETA specifically. Mm-hmm. I can speak for other organizations, and I can explain to you. 501c3, you guys know what a 501c3 is? Nonprofit organization. It's tax-deductible, non-political. And these are the organizations you often hear about where they say, you know, your donation to us is tax-deductible. In certain circumstances, they will. And then they'll say, our executive director only takes $40,000 a year because they are good and noble.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't tell you is that they operate a 501c4, another kind of nonprofit. 501c4 is also, I believe, that's the designation for super PACs as well. They don't need to disclose their donations. Yikes. It's not tax deductible, and that's where they pay the big bucks. So what will happen is you'll have two nonprofits, a 501c3 and a 501c4. The 501c3 does all the press and announces our executive director gets paid nothing. And what they don't tell you, because they don't have to, is that the director also gets paid another couple hundred thousand dollars out of the pocket of the 501c4. And when you make a donation, often you don't read the fine print and you don't realize you're actually donating to the 501c4. And then what happens is some of these organizations will take all the money in the 501c4 and they'll tell you, like, oh, you know what? Because we do political work, we're not tax deductible. And then what happens is when they make $100 million into their 501c4, they give only but $5 million to the 501c3. Then they come back to you and say, last year we only brought in $5 million.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And our executive director only makes $30,000 a year. It's
not know that. That's incredible.
That's money laundering.
Yeah. It's legal. It's legal. There are nonprofits. They're brilliant what they do. They'll organize like 10 different nonprofits. And there'll be like 9 people and they'll rotate the board of directors of each nonprofit and they all circulate funding. It's amazing, this industry.
What they're doing is pretty impressive too. They're going around right now and they're just trying to set precedents for future cases. So they're going to roadside zoos. They're going to small farms. They're going to all these different places where people have exotic animals. And whether they're cared for well or not, they're going in there. They're suing them, they're filing ESA lawsuits against them, claiming that they have standing to seize these animals. The judges are siding with them, but they're doing it to people who don't have the money to fight back because these organizations are huge and they're spending millions of dollars. And so they're setting all these precedents now so that they can go after the bigger people later. Actually, John Pierce, who you guys have had on from the NCLU, has a whole bunch of clients. He took on my friend Tanya, who had her chimps taken from her by PETA last month. And now all these people who have been victims of PETA are coming out of the woodwork, and he's investigating their cases. And it looks like people are going to start fighting back finally because they're teaming up together. And I am very excited for it because I am like furious about them.
I want to ask you guys a question, but first I'll tell you a little story. Mm-hmm. I was reading this in I can't remember what it was. It was an old timey like law precedents book. It was probably like one of those magazines you read in the bathroom or something. And it said that there was an old case where like two farmers had land that butted up against each other, and one farmer A, his dog kept going onto the farmer B's land, and farmer B kept getting mad saying, get your dog off my property. And the guy was like, I'm sorry, you know, get over here, you know, Fido. And then one day farmer B took out his gun and shot the dog and killed it. And then farmer A was like, you killed my dog, how dare you? And the court said, you know, property loss. Your dog shouldn't have gone onto his property, so he owes you the damages for the lost property. And I remember reading that being like, my dog is not property. Mm-hmm. My dog is a friend. And if you do anything to my friends,
John,
which brings me to the question, if someone came to your home and took your dog and then killed it for no reason, what would you do?
I can't say what I would do, or the feds will knock on my door.
Hold on, are we talking about John Wick here?
Yeah,
is that
what let's just say they made a movie about it, which ended up becoming what are they on? They're going on movie 4 now.
Yeah,
because the dude wanted to be left alone, and some dudes killed his dog. And John Wick, what an awesome movie! I got a story here. It's from a few years ago, from The Guardian. PETA says sorry for taking girl's pet chihuahua and putting it down. Animal rights group pays family $49,000 to settle a lawsuit after it seized a dog named Maya, which belonged to a 9-year-old. They say, Wilbur Zarate from Virginia had sued the group for taking his daughter's chihuahua from a mobile home park on the state's eastern shore and euthanizing it before the end of the required 5-day grace period. Zarate alleged PETA operate under a broad policy of euthanizing animals, including healthy ones, because it considers pet ownership to be a form of involuntary bondage. That's right. So you just kill the animal. That makes sense.
Wow.
PETA denied the allegation and maintained the incident was a terrible mistake. I'm sorry. I've seen a ton of videos on Reddit. There was one surveillance footage where you see someone actually run onto the porch and grab an animal. Yeah. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Have you seen the photos of PETA? Like, they used to dump the carcasses of dogs into Walmart dumpsters and stuff. Huffington Post actually did an incredible expose. I hate praising the Huffington Post, but it was incredible. because they were just killing all these dogs and they had nowhere to put them, so they were throwing them in dumpsters. And the state inspector for Virginia actually did a report being like, how are you taking in this many dogs when you don't have any place to put them? How is this a shelter? And they wanted to shut it down, but PETA used their big lobbying money to keep running, and they killed more dogs last year than they did the year before that.
How many, you probably know the answer, but Ian, Seamus, feel free to chime in. And for those listening at home, feel free to throw in your super chats with your guesses in today's trivia question. How many dogs does PETA kill every year?
20,000.
You know what's funny? I have no idea what it is, but I was also going to guess 20,000.
Well, that is a full, that is 10 times too many. It's 2,000 dogs and catch.
Not
well, necessarily.
Well,
they don't sound that bad now, Tim.
So that, right. That actually is only the numbers for their Virginia shelter where they kill animals.
Oh, wow.
They used a whole bunch of their donations. Instead of throwing adoption events, they used them to buy giant freezers for carcasses. Hope you all PETA donors know that. But they actually travel to Mexico as well, and they go down there and euthanize all the street dogs, and those numbers are not counted.
Really?
They also seize animals from all these little roadside zoos and sanctuaries. Those numbers are not counted. There's currently a lion missing. They seized a lion from a rescue.
Wait, there's a lion missing?
Oh, let me tell you guys the story.
Oh, gosh.
So there's a sanctuary rescue in Maryland. The guy takes, like, exotic pets that have been thrown away that people can't care for
anymore.
Is this
Tiger King?
No.
Lion King.
He was not on Tiger King.
Lion King, way better.
But he... actually, the NCLU is going to be representing some people from Tiger King, and that's a whole interesting other story that I'll get into one day. But there's this place, and he takes, like, exotic throwaway pets. People go get a tiger or a monkey, and then they can't care for it. This guy takes them. So he had two tigers and a lion, and PETA filed a lawsuit against them saying he was violating the ESA because the lion liked him too much. They said that it was too bonded to the caretaker, and therefore it was unnatural. And the court sided with them, sent the lion and the two tigers to a sanctuary in Colorado. And now he went to go visit them in, I believe, February of last year. I could be wrong. And he said that they looked terrible. Like, they were in great shape when he had them. Now they look terrible. And now nobody has seen him since. And so I actually called the sanctuary asking if I could get proof of life, and because nobody has seen them. And this place is open to the public. They let people take public tours, which means it's basically the same thing he was doing. But they wouldn't. They told me there's no recent photos, but that they're supposedly alive. And wow. So now he's trying to get proof of life, and nobody will give it to him. So, I mean, PETA, the things that I've learned in the last couple weeks have been keeping me up at night about what this organization does.
Oh, I'm
does.
Sure. Yeah. I'm definitely here for the PETA bashing. But also at the same time, I think when we're treating human beings the way that we treat them, I just don't think there's any hope for animals to be treated.
You best be believing in nightmare dystopias, Seamus.
Because you're living in one. It's true. You better believe in science fiction dystopia stories.
Is it that PETA is looking for animals that they think are in, like, rough situations, and then they take them, but then they can't support them, so they execute them?
Well, what they claim... So they don't believe that there should be any animals in human care.
Wow.
There was a lawsuit that they were involved in where they said that no elephants should be transported to this zoo. They said that elephants would be better dead than in zoos and being fed by humans. That was where the whole better dead than fed thing came from. But they don't believe anybody should have pets. They don't believe you should have a cat. They don't even think you should have a goldfish. And so what they're doing is they're going around trying to shut down all these, like, smaller sanctuaries who don't agree to play by their rules, don't agree to work with them. And they're taking them and they're sending them to these these other sanctuaries through our courts. It's essentially civil asset forfeiture, but through a private organization. And it's a loophole in the ESA, which shouldn't exist, the Exotic Endangered Species Act. And they're sending them off to these places, but they're not considering the welfare of the animals. For example, with Tanya Haddix's case, they just went and seized chimps from her in St. Louis, or near St. Louis. These chimps were bonded. They were a troop. They were in a huge enclosure that was bigger than my house. It was several stories tall. That's it was great. Beautiful. But they claim that they know better. And so last year, they took three chimps from a sanctuary, put in a different sanctuary called Project Chimps, and Project Chimps got them killed because they put them in with random chimps that they didn't know. These chimps were older. They were retired from research and from entertainment. They didn't have the alpha ability to defend themselves. So they got killed. And then 22 whistleblowers came out against Project Chimp and alleged abuse, mistreatment, filthy conditions, all kinds of stuff. And PETA didn't disavow them the way that they do for all these little sanctuaries that are operating all over the country. Instead, they put out a statement being like, this is terrible, and continued working with them. So when they come in and they seize these animals, they're putting them in great danger.
I want to highlight a specific person, though. Her name is Mary Beth Sweetland.
Oh.
You know who that is.
Vaguely. You know?
She is, according to at least one website called, let me just show it. This is humanewatch.org. Mary Beth Sweetland is best known as the PETA executive who vigorously campaigned against medical research with animals, even though she is a diabetic whose health relies on injecting herself with insulin that has been tested on animals. Now, over at PETA, she does say that she's on, what is this called? Humulin, a synthetically produced insulin that's much more appropriate for the human body. Okay, I can respect that. That's from 2010, they say. But I will also mention that NewsGuard rates PETA as caution.
Ooh.
The website fails to adhere to several basic journalistic standards.
I know that this is... This
they
is
call my... it fake news.
Well, yeah, they are fake news. Today, I was fighting with the VP of PETA on Twitter because that idiot made her way into my mentions. And she put up, to take a dig at me because I've been defending Tanya so hard, she put up a press release about what the chimps infestus, and it was a photo of one of the cages indoors that they use for like when they need to tranquilize them or when they need to go in to clean the cage. It's like a temporary enclosure, and they didn't show any of the rest of the property. They blamed her for things that happened 70 years ago when she's only been in charge of the chimps since 2017. They put up this like wild, I mean, it was impressive how fake news it was. I was like, holy crap. Like, if I read this, I would be outraged.
I would be really fascinated to know how these animal rights activists who are against experimenting on animals for the benefit of humanity feel about the kind of research we were discussing earlier with unborn children.
Oh, you know, PETA wouldn't care.
Yeah.
I really doubt they'd care at all.
No, of course not.
They might care about the rats.
Oh, you're so right. That
makes sense, yeah.
That is horrible. You're so right.
Wow.
That's like the worst. That's horrible. But
humans
right.
are animals. I mean, ethical treatment of animals.
Care,
humans
though,
are
dude.
Animals.
Yeah.
That was horrifyingly dark, but you were right.
I know.
We're definitely smart
right.
animals.
So
scientifically, we're the smartest animal.
But here's a question for everyone here. Do you believe there's a fundamental difference between humans and animals?
Yes.
No. Yeah, humans
absolutely.
Are animals.
I think absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I also deeply care about animals.
Oh, for sure. You can still care about animals, but agree that like humans are superior.
I once saw a very important film. Talked greatly about this. It was called All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yes. Good
it's
movie.
Theologically inaccurate, I might point out.
No. No.
Great movie, though.
They do go to heaven. I won't hear otherwise.
Of course they do.
What's the loophole? Do you know what that loophole in the ESA is that's letting PETA go in and...
So they're letting them claim standing because you can't just go in and be like, I oppose war, so I'm gonna sue Lockheed Martin and take all the bombs and decide what to do with them, which was my fiance's great analogy here. But you can't.
That will be based.
You can't.
That will be extremely based.
But with the ESA, you can, because the judges are claiming the Endangered Species Act.
Yeah.
So the judges are claiming that because PETA cares about animals, they have standing in these cases.
What if we had like an Endangered Humans Act that could allow you to sue people for bombing people in parts of the world where they're killing civilians routinely, or like bombing civilians farms and fishing boats, or aiding governments that are bombing farms and fishing boats?
The issue is humans are far from endangered.
That's all. That's
actually
true.
I take that back.
Yeah, but
I take that back. Humans are actually on a really dangerous course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we may have there may be lots of people, but boy, I tell you this: if we saw like a bunch of chimps and one had an RPG, we'd be like, they're in danger. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like we got nukes, man.
PETA
is like taking people's homes and stuff now, though, and it's gotten to the point where it's insane. There's this guy Tim Stark. A lot of you probably know him from Tiger King. I was talking to him the other day. They're taking his home because they not only went and took all his animals, but then they sued for legal fees, which he has to recoup, which came, I believe they were awarded $750,000. So not only are they getting these animals, they're getting almost $1 million. And, it's just crazy to me that like this is even allowed. But I was talking to him and he made a great point that under the Endangered Species Act, they count tigers because in the wild they're endangered. And so the Endangered Species Act is supposed to apply to wild animals. If you count all the tigers that are in captivity in the United States, because they're being, the ESA is being applied to them, they're not considered endangered anymore because there's like 10,000 tigers in the captivity or something. And so they're just using all these weird, bizarre loopholes to create precedent for future cases so that they can go after more people, bigger people.
It's time for people of good will to stand up, man.
Huh. Yeah.
We need people to become more organized and more active. I guess the issue is that there's too many. Maybe the fault lies with the average working American who is, I wouldn't say comfortable in a sense. I mean, you're always striving and struggling in some respect, but pulled out of the fight in general. I don't think average Americans need to be involved in a battle against PETA or anything like that. I just mean like all of this. Well, sure. I see all this bad stuff that's happening, whether it be the stuff we normally rag about with, you know, with critical race applied principles, and now with, you know, what's going on with these experiments. And I'm like, man, if people were just all calm, reasonable, mature, but active and voiced their opinions, this stuff would never happen.
Mm. You can't voice your opinions. Half the things that people want to say about, like, the way that you would want to respond to people grafting dead baby parts onto a rat would get you banned on any social media platform.
Yes. Even talking about that happening. Not only, and it's not even just about social media platforms. If you bring that up in front of people, they're going to look at you like you're crazy.
And imagine if everyone did.
Yeah, they should.
Dude, you know,
is an outrage. The fact that that happened, and also the fact that this story broke a while ago, basically no one talked about it at the time, and no one really knows about it anymore now, is insane.
Didn't the U.S. order, like, photos to be taken as much as possible after World War II?
So yes, I remember that.
There you go.
Yep.
And it was a good thing. Mm-hmm. Now people know exactly what was going on and what we vowed to never let happen again. Mm-hmm. So when you see any of these stories, as horrible as they are, How do we tolerate any of this?
It made me think of North Korea, Yunmi Park,
right.
Or struggling. So in North Korea, everyone's starving. So they don't have time to think about anything other than where's my food? I need to get food.
And we're not starving. And all we think about is food and when we're going to get our next meal and how we can sit on the couch and entertain ourselves in front of the television or with our smartphone. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong and all these horrific dictators historically did everything they could to pull people away from God with violence. It turns out all you really needed to do was develop your economy enough for nice gadgets to be put in everyone's hands and they would just forget about him. And then they would let anyone treat anyone else any kind of way, and no one would stand up for the truth because no one would have developed enough virtue to do anything that was even remotely difficult or compromised their social standing.
Remember wall-mounted phones?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was watching a video on Reddit, and it was like high def 1993 in New York.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, oh, you poor fools. You have no idea what lies ahead. I think the internet, for all of its wonders, there's a lot of negatives to it because, for every action, there's an equal and opposite. And the internet's an amazing stuff. Here we are, you know, talking to you. But it's like you said, Seamus, it's also, it's plugged people into this machine where they've gone nuts. When here's what scares me. When a regular person of strong mental fortitude sees dumb stuff on the internet, they are discerning and they can reject or say, I don't trust this, or I'll research, or I'll look into it more. But when stupid people see it, they just plug right in and say, You got it. Mm-hmm. And they follow along with whatever nightmarish trend happens. And that's the crazy thing. You know, I see a lot of people tweeting like, I wonder how it went. How did people let it get to that point? And, you know, throughout history, I'm not talking about World War II because it's over, it's cited so often. It's, you know, Godwin's law. But you think about any dictatorial uprising. How did people let it happen? We had a guy in here who was fighting against Castro when he was a young man. Wow. Castro took over and it was like it was a revolution and everyone was cheering for it. But then slowly Castro kept doing more and more script things until he controlled everything. And it's like, how did people let that happen?
Because it's one small thing at a time. And
right.
I'm not going to stand up and I'm not going to say anything that might upset the people around me over this small issue. And then it just piles on and piles on and piles on. And before you know it, it's far too late to do anything.
Ian.
People
having
don't have
faith
moral conviction
in your leaders is so dangerous. Yeah. Having faith in other people.
Blind faith, for sure.
Like, yeah, it's not that. Obviously, I want to have faith in you guys. Like, we're talking. I believe in you as a human. I have faith that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. But there's like a level up. There's like a diminishing return to that. Like, you got to. Believing that they're going to do what they tell you, whoever they are, whether it's you or you, like, it's dangerous. That's dangerous. And if you authorize some sort of massive political power and you just believe they're going to do what they say, I don't like it.
Well, I don't think it's so much blind trust in leadership as much as it is not voicing your opposition when you clearly don't trust them. I think a lot of people don't trust people in power, and I think that they know that there are very screwed up things happening in the world, such as the things we were discussing earlier with human experiments being done on innocent, faultless children. But they just don't say anything because it's uncomfortable, because it's unpopular.
You're right, and I think we can also lighten the mood a little bit by giving a good example of bad leadership and what happens when you have a population that just blindly marches behind blind leadership and refuses to accept it. We have a series of stories, actually. The first of which is that Ron DeSantis said to Joe Biden, I don't want to hear a blip out of you until you secure the border, because
yes.
He accused Joe Biden of importing the virus. What is it, like 7,000?
7,000 in McAllen, Texas tested positive, I believe.
And Joe Biden,
migrants.
This is the craziest thing. Biden's like, we're going to require all foreign visitors to be vaccinated, but illegal immigrants, it's optional. No, I'm not kidding. Literally, they're like, we'll offer it to you if you want it, but 1.2 million people.
Wow.
So Joe Biden responds saying, Governor who? And Ron DeSantis had the best comeback.
Because I don't think forgot who I am. Too?
I don't think
that's what I would have hit him with. Like, well,
he said, "What else has he forgotten?"
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful. Good for him.
I remember Obama making fun of Trump this way, just this dismissive, like, who does he? That guy's nobody.
He will never. He's like, fortunately, I will be remembered as a president. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then he
you're missing the.
I'll be remembered as president.
I'll be remembered.
We're
as
at,
president.
40,000
feet. DeSantis, dude, smart, man.
Yeah.
And now there's a really funny article. It was like, it was from The Independent. Ron DeSantis' popularity plummets after Joe Biden says Governor Who. And I'm like, no, it didn't.
No,
where are they getting that?
It's a spurious correlation. It's like his approval rating goes down because of COVID in Florida or something. And then Biden says Governor Who, and they
hold
spurious
on.
Correlation.
Do you think anyone who likes Ron DeSantis was like, Joe Biden just eviscerated Ron DeSantis? This is just like when Trump told Hillary she'd be in jail.
That's right.
I just can't believe that Biden, like, especially when this is someone who actually probably did forget who he was. Biden wasn't even trying to slam him.
Yeah.
He's like, he's Ryan Basambles guy. They got hairy legs.
Governor.
Corn pop. Corn pop.
Check us out from Timcast.com. Biden says 350 million Americans have been vaccinated, more than U.S. population. What I love the most.
I thought
about,
we were up to 370. I thought we went to 330 or 370.
You know what I really love about Timcast.com is we're doing our best, not always.
Oh, I was wrong.
But this title is perfect. We don't snark. We're not making fun of them. We're literally just stating the fact. Biden says 350 million Americans have been vaccinated, more than U.S. population.
Yep.
We don't need to explain anything else. The news, it's right there. It speaks for itself.
Nonpartisan, factual band.
No, I was going to say, our president ain't there, dude.
No, he's really not.
But at least we're laughing, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
That's one lighter story.
Gallows humor.
Yeah.
Well, but what do we do when you
he's
have...
He's also like a genuinely evil human being.
Yeah.
Point that
out.
Yeah,
genuinely horrible, evil
just,
person.
You guys should read Biden Inc. from Politico. where they're like, conveniently, when Joe Biden was put in charge of Iraq, his brother got all the contracts for building things there.
Hold on, that's an unverified conspiracy theory, Tim.
That's
from
right.
Politico.com.
It's an unverified conspiracy website.
Oh, yeah, I love, yes. They are. I mean,
to be fair.
Politico reported that Ukrainians were scrambling after they had tried to help Hillary Clinton in the election and, you know, interfering. And a court ruled as such. And then later Politico reported, never happened. There was no interference. And I'm like, Politico, retract your story. But they would. They had both simultaneously running. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful paradox of fake news.
Yeah, Politico's funny. Earlier, I was reading an article on the Biden administration repealing the Trump-era rules against federal funding going towards research done on unborn children who were killed in abortion. And the article described the Trump regulations as very strict. And these very strict Trump-era regulations are being unwinded by Joe Biden. Like, okay. Like,
he should just let him kill a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta really, let people kill him a little.
We're never going to do human experimentation.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
That's
just let him grasp like a thumb at least. You know?
Is it that people, the idea is that people are going to get abortions, so you may as well use...
That's what we were saying, basically.
That's
they're like, look at all the fetal tissue.
Oh, no.
That one's at 42 weeks. I mean, it's a living baby, but. Yeah.
Well.
Remember that South Park episode where Christopher Reeves
horrible.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
So, in the episode, Christopher Reeves is in a wheelchair, and then he takes a baby and he cracks it open and then he sucks it dry, and then he stands up from his wheelchair. The South Park guys are brilliantly funny. The issue was, though, they were mocking the idea as if it didn't happen. As if look, obviously, Christopher Reeves never did that. There's nobody who's literally taking the babies and cracking them open. But it's an analogy, I suppose. I guess they were exaggerating for humor's sake, but we see these stories since 2015.
Well, and also, I mean, there you can do stem cell research without killing unborn children. There are, I mean, the umbilical cord is rich in stem cells. There are also stem cells that they've been able to extract from adults, and they tend to be more effective in experiments than the ones that are coming from children they're killing.
I'm going to tell you, man, once we get into the AI era, all sense of human decency is gone.
I think we're past that point, man.
No.
It's, here's the thing. We're decent to humans who we're interfacing with.
Right.
But as soon as someone's out of our space, we don't care. We're complete sociopaths.
A robot is going to treat a human like we would a lab rat.
Also,
when the AI comes in and you get like an Ultron or whatever, look at what they do. We talked a lot about China, right? How they just will bulldoze homes because like you don't own it anyway. It's a lease. There's no eminent domain there. They just do whatever they want. So we had Jack Posobiec telling us how, like, you know, the Democrats or the U.S. politicians go over there and they're like, you can just basically crush an entire residential neighborhood and build a highway. And they're like, yep. We're not even at that level in the United States necessarily. We have like, oh, well, there's a lawsuit and a constitution and eminent domain, the Fifth Amendment. You've got to pay, you know, et cetera. Yeah. Once you get to the AI level, they're going to be like, the robot's going to just in the blink of an eye be like, we need, you know, 5,000 living adult humans to figure out how X does Y or something. And there will be literal people just completely treated like cabbage garbage.
Do you think we're going to get to that point with AI, though?
You guys should
read
the
Moore's
Law
has been slowing down.
Read which one?
The Artelect War by Hugo de Garis.
Yeah,
it's my favorite book in the whole world.
Isn't that like a really hard to get book or something?
Yeah, it's like $1,000 on Amazon.
Wow.
I will let you borrow my copy.
You have it, don't you?
Yeah,
that's like a third the price of a textbook.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
It's a lot,
but it's written. It's a really interesting book. This guy actually is pro robot takeover, but he does present both sides very well. And they call it the Artelect War, where it'll be like
pro robot takeover.
So do you guys, you guys really believe AI is going to get to that point?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
but Moore's Law has been slowing down.
For all you know, no, has it? No, they've started doubling up
cores. I mean,
yeah, they started doubling up cores.
What cores have been?
Cores. They started doubling up cores and processors.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Once
64 core, is that available right now?
So once we hit the, like, Moore's Law was like, oh, it's, you know, every 2 years it doubles.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh no, it's you know, everything's getting too small and the electrons are popping in and out. They just started adding up more cores.
They're also moving away from using electricity and shifting to light in circuitry.
Or quantum computing.
Yeah.
So,
but also this assumes that civil society exists long enough for AI to be developed.
It's gonna be, they're gonna be paying women to get pregnant and just be there and giving birth over and over and over. That'll be their job.
I don't think.
Yeah. If there's an AI in charge, it will be harvesting humans.
No, we've talked about this before.
Humans are already harvesting humans.
So there will be untold cruelty because cruelty doesn't exist in the mind of the machine trying to find the most efficient end. But a lot of what would happen, this is nightmarish. So first, we talked about algorithmic psychosis on this channel quite a bit, how people go on social media and then just get fed a rotating cycle of insane content, which makes them go insane over a certain amount of time. What people don't realize, you really got to look at how AIs develop things. They don't do exactly what you intend them to. To be fair, AI and algorithms are fairly different, but just for rudimentary's argument, YouTube says, here are the parameters by which we want this system to feed content to people. And what they were hoping for was Game of Thrones. Hmm. Longer form content with high engagement. What did they get? They got the Incredible Hulk and Hitler doing Tai Chi, and Hitler's head was on a bikini body, and it's singing a nursery rhyme
song. Okay, but to be fair, don't belittle that compared to the Avengers, all right, bro? Like, that's really elitist of you to say one is better than the other.
Oh, for sure. But here's what I'm saying.
It's definitely awesome content.
Apply that principle to an algorithmically run society in any capacity, or an AI that is exponentially developing. Yeah. What'll happen is, we'll have nothing but corn. And then one day, all of a sudden, like, everything in the supermarket is just corn, and you're like, why? Where's the milk? Where's it? It just corn replaces everything because the AI was like, corn's faster and easier to make. And if we make more of it, it's easier to make more at one time. And then all of a sudden you have no resource. Everyone starves.
Well, so the problem with AI theoretically would be the same problem that we have with anything humans construct, whether it's an algorithm, whether it's public policy. There are laws. There's the law of unintended consequences. Anytime humans try to set up a structure to get a certain kind of behavior from a person or group of people, they end up with something other than what they were shooting for. Sometimes it's successful, but I'm not sure if you've heard of the Cobra Effect or if I've ever talked about this on the show. So there was, I can't even remember the country. I believe this was in British occupied India. And there were cobra infestations.
That sounds
right.
And
so what they did was they said, we will pay people for every cobra tail that they bring us, because then they'll be out there killing cobras. They have an economic incentive to do so. They'll bring the carcasses to us. We'll give them money. What happened was people started finding male and female cobras and starting breeding operations so they could kill the cobras, bring them to the British government, get money. And so the population of cobras increased.
There's a story I was reading on Reddit. And they said that they programmed an AI to play Tetris, hoping to see highest level play, like level 100. It's going so fast, you can't even see the screen. You know what the AI did?
Just quit, got bored, started playing Mario.
The goal, the goal was to see, to generate an AI that could play Tetris for as long as possible. So what do you think it did?
Pause the game.
Slow. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Just paused the game.
Path of least resistance.
That's right.
I love
and so we're thinking it's going to play, and then all of a sudden it pauses, and we're like, wait, what? Oh man, got to change that parameter. Man. So I'll tell you this. I think we've talked about the AI future where I've said, like, you know, you'll wake up and your phone will vibrate, and it'll be like, free credit opportunity. And it'll say, walk outside and yell. And then you'll be like, okay, you'll go outside and you'll yell, and then it'll go, accomplished, ba-ding, and then it'll give you credits. And then there'll be another guy walking down the street, and he'll be like, turn left here, and, you know, pick up this strange object from this man. And you'll walk by, and you'll see the guy, and there's his picture, and he'll hand you a weird black orb, and you'll go, okay. And then it'll say, now walk 3 feet, hand it to the woman. And you do, ba-ding, you get credits. Because what's happening is, wherever you are and you're walking, the AI has found a method of delivering that object that it needs to a certain area faster than you just going and doing it. So you're getting these random instructions you don't quite understand. Mm. The scary thing is, eventually someone's going to get one and it's going to be like, turn left here, and they're going to fall off a cliff. And then they're going to into the ground and holding the orb, and then someone walks up and picks up the orb from the carcass and walks away, because the AI doesn't value you as an individual. AI future, man.
What if they code in? What if they put, if going to have someone walk off building, then stop?
Remember when Apple Maps came out? Some lady drove into a lake? Because apparently she was...
Oh my gosh, that's right.
She was driving...
That's a throwback.
She was driving on the road, and it said, turn left here, and she went, okay.
It's like that episode of The Office. You remember that?
No.
When Michael drives into the lake, I think the GPS tells him to.
There was that's probably where they got it from.
True story. Yeah.
There was one lady who drove like 500 miles into the desert, because it told her to turn right here, and she did. And then she ran out of gas. And she's in the middle of nowhere, like, I don't know where I am. And because the computer told her to do it, she did it.
Siri didn't like how she was talking to her lately. And she's like, well, I know what I'm doing.
Can I just stress, this is GPS. This is not even like something running your life. Mm-hmm. It's literally just a map you can look at and be bringing me to the desert. Yeah. I'm not going to go there. And people still do it.
Yeah.
Man, what do you think's going to happen when we start getting more and more robots to replace more and more of our lives?
Dude, I had my GPS recently tell me to take a U-turn immediately after merging onto the highway when there was a barrier between the sides of the highway that you can drive on. So, like, literally, it was just telling me to kill myself.
People do it.
Sorry, Seamus.
People do this stuff.
Pretty rude.
It's going to be unfun, but...
And then, you know what's the best part? I just went onto the highway normal-like, and then in order to get me off the highway and turn around, it, like, specifically had me go through two tolls.
Oh, that's rude.
It's like, well, I'm starting to think this is on purpose.
Come on, man.
See, that's the other thing, too.
Does your GPS ever do weird stuff with tolls?
Yes. Because
I've had other people share similar stories. I don't know if it's intentional, but...
it's you, Seamus. Yeah, it's probably sorry. Just
me. We got to make sure AI stays as advisors and not as commanders.
It's too late, bro.
I don't know.
We've already got computer programs that tell us what to do with our day.
Think about how much time I got a
watch,
on social media.
Sometimes I'm wearing the watch, and then in the middle of the day, it'll vibrate, and then it shows a little man who's like middle-aged, like a middle-aged kind of tubby guy, and he's like doing like, you know, this or whatever. And going like that, and it's like time to get up, and I'm like,
and Tim literally does exactly that.
I literally do
that little move. I've seen it happen. It's crazy.
It's great.
It's like a Pavlovian response.
True.
The little man says it's time to start moving, and I get up and I walk around and I go outside, and then it gives me a little thing. I get an award.
Yeah. And it's like, bling, it's like, I actually downloaded the footage of the little guy doing that, and whenever I play it, Tim just involuntarily starts doing the workout. He's been so conditioned.
Because the watch says I have to do it.
You know? Yeah,
well, you can't not listen to the watch.
I know.
I think we'll have to make sure that following AI instructions gives you reward incentives as opposed to punishment for disobeying.
Well, but I think the reward
that's just Brave New World versus 1984,
exactly.
Bro.
Thank you. I think it's more in cities. You trust it more when it's just a reward.
Brave New World versus 1984.
Do you want your happiness medicine or your video game?
Much rather have the happiness medicine.
This is
what you're getting right now.
I know.
When you're staring at your phone, you're getting those dopamine hits. You're seeing the likes and the retweets, and you're like, oh, man, you got to break that spell, man.
I'm just saying, like, I am the first to admit I have a problem with it. It's difficult. When you make any of your living on social media, you have this justification for looking at it and engaging with your audience, but it's really easy to justify an addiction that way.
There's a really simple way to break the addiction to likes and views and retweets. Mm-hmm. You just need to have several million followers, get over 100 million views in a single month.
Exactly. Once I get there.
But in all honesty, once there's nowhere left to go, you lose all reward triggering from the entire system. And you lose any and all emotion related to any of it.
That's what I'm hoping for, lose all of my emotions related to my job. But I hear you. Like, I feel like if you hit a plateau, that's sort of what happens.
It's not a plateau. It's like when you've climbed the top of the highest mountain, what do you do next? You know, eventually you're just like, well, that was fun. You know,
we see. All right. But here's what I would knowing myself, I would try to expand in other things because, you know, I'm already doing that. I work with other clients. I try to produce videos for different organizations. So I'll always be like, I have to keep.
Sure.
Pushing
what I'm
out.
Saying is most people. On YouTube, there's a YouTube depression thing that happens because views are seasonal, especially for a show like this.
That's so true. It's true. Politics, they are.
So we're a news politics. I think this is actually Tim Katz IRL is Society and Culture, but Tim Pool Daily Show is news. So views go way down. And everyone right now is like, haha, CNN's viewership is in the gutter. And I'm like, yeah, but...
I'm like, it's not funny, guys. You shouldn't laugh at someone for that.
CNN's general news, so their views shouldn't be this bad.
Brian Stelter's like checking. He's like...
Refreshing. Yeah, they couldn't break
Looking
a million
at his
views.
YouTube studio
they couldn't get... CNN couldn't break a million views this past
That's rough.
Week or whatever. And so the point is, we're in the down season. There's no election this year. There's no primary. So next year's election, things will start kicking back up. But what happens to a lot of these YouTubers is they notice their views are going down. They have panic attacks. Mm-hmm. They start freaking out like, why are my numbers low? This is bad. And they feel like they're losing because they don't understand. Break the spell, dude. It's not real.
No, that's true. I've gotten better at that because there are, like, over the past year, especially, I feel like I've had a lot of, like, it is a weird way of putting it, but steady ups and downs. It hasn't been all over the place, but it's like, oh, we're doing really good, and then, oh, not so good, and then really good again. And so it's gotten to the point where I don't worry about it too much, but I think it has to happen to you It has to happen to you enough to the point where you know not to be concerned when you're in those dips.
We just need to educate kids about this stuff before they get into it.
Yeah.
Well, a
couple years ago, it was like in May, and I put up a video, and the views were just in the gutter. And I was like, did I do something wrong?
May was bad for me, too.
Is the video not entertaining? Like, what's happening? And I was like, well, I'll tell you what. You can't win them all.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, you know what? I did my best. I shot my shot, and I'll just keep working tomorrow, and I don't let the little things hold me up. Went out to eat, and all of a sudden, we went out. Everywhere we went was packed. Every restaurant, every diner.
Why?
And I was like,
you guys are like, guys, get back inside and watch
my
video.
What the heck?
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
They were outside.
Yeah.
And so then I thought about it and I looked up. It had been raining the entire week. And so everybody was inside. Well, watching your videos, your views are good, and then the sunny spring day happens, yeah, and all of the families wanted to go out to eat in the nice weather.
I like it.
That's what
they're
the song's about.
Home to watch videos.
The song "Where I Come From, Rain Is a Good Thing." It's, yeah, about a YouTuber. Yeah. When people are inside, right, watching the videos, it's good.
My winter works.
No, yeah, it's so. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just want to mention one more thing because it's on this topic. We have not. You mentioned we should be teaching kids about this stuff, and it's so crazy. Because we have no idea how to navigate social media in a truly healthy way. And it's not just social media. It's instant connection and communication. So I was thinking about this a while ago. If you had some kind of universal PA system in cars, the way truckers have them, where you can just communicate with other truckers, people would immediately start killing each other. Road rage would get horrible.
Hold on. This exists.
I know Tesla's starting to do
it. No. It's like ancient technology, bro.
No, that's what I'm saying. They could do it very easily, but auto manufacturers don't sell cars where you can talk to the other car.
Yes, they do. Every single car.
What?
You're talking about ancient technology. A powerful enough broadcaster will broadcast sound from any speaker.
Okay, yeah. I get what you're saying.
So you can literally, if you have the broadcaster, I'm pretty sure that's illegal to do, so don't do it.
Yeah.
But if you had a powerful broadcaster, you could literally pull up next to a car and broadcast through their speakers whether they wanted you to or not. It's not an issue of frequencies or radios or anything. It's that the signal hits the speaker itself and sends the sound out.
My point is Tesla's talked about implementing this with Tesla, and truckers have it. But infrastructure for actually talking with the other cars on the road next to you, where it's part of the status quo. You're not doing anything illegal. We don't do this. And I suspect part of it is because that would distract drivers, and it would also be horrific in terms of road rage. You think about the way people talk to each other on the internet when they think they're anonymous. Imagine when you're on the highway with people you never think you're going to see again. I think it would cause a lot of problems. And that's a relatively simple technology. Look at social media and how much that's affected us, and the fact that we were completely unprepared for it and it was just dropped on us. We have no rules for it.
I want to say I feel really bad for kids today. You know why?
Yes, me
too. They'll never know the joy of rushing full speed to the wall-mounted phone as you race your siblings to try and answer it first.
It's true,
because you want to know who's calling.
Mm-hmm. Or and then when running to the bathroom rings, when a commercial break.
When it rings, and then it's your brother or sister who answers it, and you're like, who is it? And it's like the bank calling, and like, who cares?
They're asking if I have time to take a survey.
Now, to be fair, when you have like YouTube TV or one of these networks, like you still run to the bathroom when the commercial comes on.
So. Yeah, for sure. But I guess the other thing I wanted to mention is it's not even just social media. You look at the instant communication that we have with our cell phones, SMS. You have an obligation to upkeep relationships with people when you're not even seeing them that day. People will be upset with you for not texting them back quickly enough. In the past, it was completely normal to go a day or two without having conversations with people who you were close to, but now it's constant, and people will even be upset if you're not giving them space in your life and attention when you're not with them that day.
Ian, I'm sure everybody here understands this. I remember it's like I'm a little kid, and I'm going to my friend's house, going to go see if they're home. Walk across the alley because you know our friend lives on the next street over. So we walk through the alley, go to the house, knock on the door. There's no answer, and I go, I guess I'm not going to hang out with him today. Huh. And that was it.
Yeah.
Some days I'd answer, and my friend's mom would answer, and I'd be like, is my friend home? She'd be like, he's at the park. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to go to the park, and I go there. No one's there, mm-hmm. And then I'm like, nobody's here. I guess I'm at the park now by myself. That was it. That was life. No cell phones.
I caught the very tail end of that. I didn't have a cell phone as a kid or anything like that. It wasn't until high school. But
I remember, dude.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, just like going out to my friend's house, bro, or calling them on the landline, asking their parents if they were home.
It's like Dr. Manhattan, in Watchmen when. He's at the final Antarctic fortress or whatever, and Ozymandias has been sending tachyons to obstruct Dr. Manhattan's future sight. And then he says, he's like, I want to thank you. I'd almost forgotten the joy of not knowing. Bro, before the internet, before cell phones, life was an adventure. You didn't know where you were going or why you were going there. We'd like walk down the old freight tracks and then find like an old abandoned shipping yard. Like, I don't know what it is. Now it's like the map just shows you the whole time, and you're like, I knew that was there. It's not fun.
Yeah, no, I miss
no
it.
No adventure.
I miss it. But I'm sorry, Cassandra, you were going to say something.
Oh, it's okay. It's not relevant anymore.
Not anymore, yeah.
Just say it. I want to hear it.
It's okay.
Are you sure?
Okay. We're way past that
When did
now.
You get internet for the first time?
I had it in elementary school at my grandparents' house. I would go on AOL dial-up.
Oh, my God.
Dial-up.
My favorite noise.
AOL. Yeah. We had CompuServe
I would do
on
all
DOS.
The true
bro, we had CompuServe, too.
On DOS?
Not on DOS, yeah. Bro.
What do you know?
Nothing. See, I guess.
My Asian family was very technologically advanced.
I see that, yeah.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you about my Irish family. Not super technologically advanced.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Very technologically advanced. What do you think I was going to say? Some kind of offensive stereotype?
Probably,
I'll have none of it. I'll have none of it, Timothy.
I thought you were going to mention whiskey or
I'll
something.
I'll have nothing. I'll have none of Mr. Timothy Cast.
I thought you were going to say that your family were prestigious and well-renowned distillers of fine whiskeys.
Not drunks at all.
Excuse me, Tim? That's extremely
I'm also
offensive.
Irish.
That's he can make some of these jokes, I guess.
I like that Family Guy
but
joke.
But your passing is non-Irish, you know? So, like, you don't understand the oppression that we deal with.
Yeah. I like the Family Guy joke where it's like the plane lands in Ireland and there's beer bottles in the runway. And then he says something like,
he's
Ireland, he's like, Ireland was a very different place before the invention of alcohol. And then it flashes back to like, but it's actually a futuristic society with flying cars.
Yeah.
And then the scientist comes in and he's like, look, they invented out whiskey. And they all start beating each other up. Yeah, I guess it's not true, though. The stereotype of Irish as being drunks has never been true.
That's never been true. It was a propaganda thing.
Patty
promise.
No,
I've
really
never
was.
Even met, and I've never met an Irish person with a drinking problem once.
It's true, I haven't either.
Not one of
them.
Are
you lying?
I've never met an Irish person who BS'd either, Tim.
Never.
It's not even a thing. I'm going to be honest. There is a lot of truth to that stereotype.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to the stereotype of Irish people drinking a lot.
Yeah,
I got to be real.
The paddy wagon.
I don't know what PC nonsense you've been hearing, but it's a thing. It is.
So, Britney Spears is Catholic.
Britney Spears is Catholic, yes.
What?
This is incredible.
I knew that as soon as we brought it up, Seamus was going to be like, oh,
yes.
He's going to start high-fiving everybody.
I was like, are we got a white pill today? I'm actually really happy to hear this. No, I'm really happy to hear this. I learned about it on social media the other day and lamentably never brought it up on the podcast.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
What happened? She have
she just posted about how she's Catholic now and she just got back for Mass. So good for her.
What?
I'm very happy for her.
I really do think that is good for her, especially everything she's been through with her family and all this insanity.
I've been playing a lot of RimWorld, and in the game, if you put someone in like a dark cage and they have a psychotic break, sometimes they'll have a shift of faith.
Thanks, buddy.
And they'll start having
thanks, pal.
So maybe that's what she just experienced.
Wow. I've got to say, I support the Free Britney movement and stuff. I think that, you know, what's happened to her is terrible.
Me too.
But I've been so frustrated watching Republicans like clamor to defend Britney Spears when we have political prisoners who are sitting in jail since January 6th. We have Julian Assange sitting in prison. We have all these political prisoners, and they're like, free Britney, guys. Yeah.
But I think that's fair. We were talking about like unborn children being killed, but then also you care about animal rights. I think the unborn children thing is significantly more important, but that doesn't mean it's wrong for you to be as informed as you are about PETA.
I remember back in 2018 when I said Republicans were too stupid to deal with social media censorship to save their own careers.
Also,
and
true.
Like all these Republican voters are like, yes. Hmm. Like the Republican Party, what do they do?
Nothing.
It's amazing. It's
nothing.
Like Ilhan Omar can come out and word vomit all over a group of people. And then the Democrats are like, well, now let's not be too hasty. Mm-hmm. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene posts something before getting elected. And they're all like, let's strip her of her committees and punish her because the Republicans are losers.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them. You know what's funny? Yeah. I was thinking about Rhino, like, you know, people call him Rhino.
Yeah, Republicans in name only.
But they'll say like, oh, Mitch McConnell's a Rhino. I'm like, no, he isn't. He's exactly the Republican Party.
Oh, it's, bro, that's so true.
Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, they're the ones who stand out.
Yeah.
That's very true. You're right. I got to give that to you.
The ones who are like, this was our path in to actually affect real positive change. The Republican Party doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just, I don't know, sit in their hands.
Yeah, and then they attack the ones who do try to do anything. Yeah.
Well, this is the crazy
thing. We like to say that they're the speed bump for the Democrats, but they're more like the gatekeepers,
mm-hmm.
making sure that nobody gets in the way and allows the Democrats to do whatever they want.
Yes, exactly.
Welcome to the Uniparty.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the thing, too, because a lot of people I know on the left tend to not like the Democratic Party either. I basically don't know anyone who likes their political party.
I agree.
Frankly, and maybe that's just because I wouldn't hang out with someone who did like their political party. It's a sampling bias.
Libertarian Party.
Libertarians don't like the LP.
They've been
Libertarians
pretty,
hate
no, hold
each
on.
Other.
Back when I was libertarian, I hated the LP the whole time.
I do. I'm not a fan. But the Mises Caucus.
Exactly. Yes.
Dave Smith.
They're the only good thing. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned,
Dave Smith on Fox News is just amazing.
It's
when he debates leftists,
no,
and they're like Donald Trump, and he's like, I didn't vote for him. Yeah. I don't like him. I love it.
I think Trump is a war criminal.
Yes,
he says it all the time. It's like, yeah, he does.
They can't. These tribalist established people can't handle it. They're like, I don't. You're clearly a Trump supporter. It's like, no, Mm-hmm. They're libertarian. We're not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying. Yeah, that's actually given me some, I don't know, white pill, I guess you can call it. But I guess the bigger question is whether or not the Libertarian Party can pull off any victories. I really think it would be an incredible thing if we had at least one Libertarian Party candidate in the House or something like that.
That's my point. I don't really want them in. Well, it's complicated. Here's the thing. I've said this before. My whole voting strategy is vote for the most pragmatic pro-life candidate possible. And it gets difficult when the Libertarian Party's involved at a national election and they split up the vote. But honestly, I think local elections are unbelievably important, if not more important. And if you got a pro-life Libertarian, again, even though I don't consider myself Libertarian anymore, oftentimes they're going to be a better option than a Republican. Now, of course, again, you get into this issue of splitting up the vote, but that's not always the case.
It depends.
I don't. So
would you
I don't
big
like
L Libertarians.
Yeah, no, I don't like Libertarians at all. So I think they're good on foreign policy and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But right. we have a massive crisis with the culture domestically right
Amen.
Now. And they're like, let people be as degenerate as they want.
Some of them it's are like fine. That. The Hoppians, though,
Drag
and the Mises
Queen
Caucus.
Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yeah. Like, as far as I'm aware, the Hoppians and like the Mises Caucus people are not like that. Yeah, again, I'm not Libertarian anymore.
Yeah,
but
I support the Mises Caucus.
What's the difference?
In general, I'm not a fan of libertarians.
Basically, Libertarian Party is a disaster.
Yeah.
And then some sane libertarians came out and they were like, we're going to form a caucus because we're not insane.
Mises is a guy, right?
Yes, Ludwig von Mises.
So, yes, I think too much of libertarianism, it's that meme of the fox, right? You know, the scraggly looking fox. And it's like, that's what libertarian ideals is, the beautiful fox. And
right.
The candidates are all like scraggly and weird.
The majority of them are open borders.
Yep.
They support allowing things like Drag Queen Story Hour. I've seen a lot of them supporting CRT. And I mean,
those people are idiots. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you're great on foreign policy. Cool. But. Like, we have some problems here right now, so...
I hear you.
Yeah, but you can be libertarian and be opposed to those things, and that's the problem with libertarians. They ruined libertarianism, you know what I mean?
Well, the party itself...
The party is garbage,
is
too.
It's terrible.
Yes.
So if you guys want, like, Libertarian Party people elected, I have to disagree.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. No. If you had good people, like from the Mises Caucus in the party who are actually going to stand up against the federal government when they try to impose these lockdowns on their county, which I think libertarians in the Mises Caucus would be far more likely to do than Republicans, then I would say, okay, that's a good person to vote for.
Yeah,
but if we're talking about these sort of milquetoast people who are in favor of garbage like CRT and say, Drag Queen Story Hour is just a right. Yeah, you have a right to, like, force your perversion onto children. That's
didn't some dude take his clothes off on stage? Like,
yes,
debaters?
Yeah. Yes, yep, yep, that did happen.
That was good.
What is this?
That indeed occurred.
Can we get sane, liberty-minded individuals? Well, we do, I think, with Mises Caucus. But, yeah, I think the problem is there are a lot of anarcho-capitalists. They're absolutely on board with all that stuff. Not that they're on board with it.
I
don't
think
care.
Smith is an ANCAP.
Yeah, they're
like,
really
Dave
weird
Smith
about the age of consent stuff, too. I, like, really don't like them. I don't know.
You can be on the libertarian spectrum and want individual freedoms and liberties while recognizing we need standards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, I don't want the idea of the scraggly, degenerate, you know, fox, libertarian ruining the idea of respecting individual liberties and being on the liberty side. Mm. You know, the problem is people who are for liberty tend to be more individualist. And don't organize.
Yep.
They're like, leave me alone, I'll do my thing, and then what happens?
Right.
Everything goes insane, and the lunatics take
over. They often don't get into politics. I can't bring myself to do it. I think it's technology is the way. If you really are a liberty-minded, sane individual, you should be building technology that will help solve, like, social media algorithm problems, you know, shipping and materials so that we can get drone deliveries organized all over the world. We're not going to write our way out of this with politics.
I ate an
People
MRE
are getting
earlier.
Brought. What's that?
I had an MRE earlier.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Salty?
People were eating
them
last
night, too.
Yeah, it
was really salty. Too. Yeah. Because they're fun. It's like Lunchables for adults.
Did you eat one last night, too?
I think I did. Did I?
It was like an open one on the bar.
I may have.
Yeah, it's a lot of
sodium. Yeah, I had tuna. The tuna one's good because it's like a real tuna.
What made you think of it?
I don't know. I just burped.
Oh, you take it out.
I was like, yeah.
That's good. That means you're digesting something. Hey, earlier when I said that psychotic break can make you have a crisis of faith, I wasn't saying that it's psychotic to be Catholic.
I was being sardonic.
I'm saying that when people go
sure.
through psychotic breaks, they have shifts of faith sometimes.
No,
and
I think
maybe
that
Brittany,
for sure,
who's been locked up and going insane, all of a sudden had a crisis of faith.
What can happen? Or maybe her faith was something she needed to get through that.
Yeah, maybe.
Because she wasn't Catholic before, right? Now she is? Is that the story?
I mean, she was Christian. She may have been a lapsed Catholic or something like
that. No, she was
Baptist,
I think.
She also said, I'm Catholic now, not like I'm taking my faith seriously. I assume she was not Catholic before. Good
maybe for her. Maybe we need to start thinking about things more like Vermin Supreme did.
Yeah, let's go deeper on that.
Of just like absurdity to challenge the system.
Yeah. Organized absurdity.
Organized absurdity. I like this idea.
Yeah. I like the Andy Kaufman.
It's called government. It already exists. It's called the DNC.
So here's a funny thing. Like Antifa used to be just be called the Black Bloc, and it was a nebulous term to it was just a reference to the group of people who all wear, you know, all black and go around smashing stuff, which is basically what we call Antifa now. And there were a lot of people like trying to figure out how do you deal with that. They're like, what's a counter to this? Because if you show up and like into a fight with them, they'll call you far right or whatever. And I was like, boom, clowns.
Yes.
Clown Bloc. Show up.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of entertainment. To dance and sing and play music and clap and do, that's how you diffuse the violence from these extremists.
I just got a unicycle.
Perfect. Breathing fire. Thank you, Sandra.
Just get the horns. Imagine this. Antifa's going like, we're gonna burn it down! And they're all smashing and screaming. Imagine that. And then, like, you know, the right wing groups show up and they're fighting and they have shields and there's the news. It's like, oh no, there's clash in the street. Imagine instead a bunch of clowns showed up. And they came with flowers and they were dancing and happy and they were getting in the way of the extremists and they were going in between the Black Bloc. How are you going to say a bunch of clowns are the bad guys when they're there with flowers and they're laughing and playing music and dancing and everyone's just like, it breaks that violence apart. I gotta say, I think that could stop a riot. You see Antifa going out there and they're smashing windows and screaming, send in the clowns, man.
You know what else would stop a riot? If police? We put all these people back into asylums, bring back asylums.
That's a good point, too.
No, I'm a big fan of exile because it's a personal thing, right? Like if society came to me and said, what you're doing is wrong and we want to lock you up for it, I'd be like, can I take a boat and just go off and do my own thing? Because I'd rather do that. I'd rather risk my own survival.
I wonder about that. I think they banished Lenin from Russia or from Soviet Union, and they banished Napoleon from France, but they both came back. Like worse than ever. Napoleon came back and started another war, and so did Lenin.
I was thinking about this. I'm like, what would we do for like healthcare reform and prison reform? And I was like, we should totally get rid of our prisons as we know it, and maybe just create like what do they do in Norway? It's like an island.
Yeah, it is.
They put everyone on an island.
Interesting.
And then like you get limited resources, and you're basically responsible for yourself. And I think there was a study that said they actually found that it eliminated the criminal tendencies because people started working together to survive.
Good for them.
And, I'm like, maybe that's a better way to do it. Instead of having people in these institutionalized, you know, penitentiaries where they're not actually being rehabilitated, they're being institutionalized. We let people, you know, we obviously monitor their health and safety. We're not sending people to an island to just starve to death. But it's like your day is your day. You're responsible for yourself. You can't leave. We won't let you, but you're free to roam as you please, and there would be housing. And then it's just like, there you go. We've removed the threat from society, and now you're off over there doing whatever you want.
I like it.
I think they would form, like, militias and abuse.
With no weapons, and they're surrounded by walls.
Are they allowed to, like, throw the pedophiles off the buildings, or what's the deal? Like, do they have police?
No.
Oh.
Like, no prison guards?
I'm just wondering.
That could be bad.
Curious.
Maybe.
Sorry.
But look, bro,
it's cannibalism.
If you're a violent criminal, no, there would be food. They would give them food. If you're a violent criminal, then through due process, you lose some rights. You lose many of your rights. And I think, why should we spend so much money locking them in these big facilities, desperately trying to contain the threat, instead of being like, you have forfeited, you know, the social contract, and we're going to send you over there, and you can go do whatever you want, just not here with us.
Yeah, I think prison exacerbates the problem a lot of times. They go sit there with other criminals and in a violent environment.
What if we make them, and hear me out, you know, they're in these tunnels, and they stand on this pedestal that raises them up, and then there's, you know, 23 other people, and there's in the middle a bunch of weapons, and they're in this big dome, and then the countdown happens, and then whoever survives in the end wins and is called the victor, and then
they
we
get
do that every year.
Onto society. Like,
I'm kidding, by the way. That's
you
the
earn your freedom.
Games.
If you kill the most people, you earn your freedom.
Bro, that's gosh. Like the movie Gamer. You've seen Gamer?
Oh, yeah, never seen it.
No. Yeah.
Hot action.
Yeah, I like that movie with Gerard Butler. Is that his name?
That's the dude from 300. Was that him?
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Butler.
Yeah, that movie was cool.
He's one of my favorite actors of all time.
Oh, they're bringing Dexter back.
Oh, yeah, they're filming it in Massachusetts.
Whoa. I'm kind of excited for that because Dexter was awesome, but it like ended. You know
but I mean? The ending was bad.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm kind of okay with the new ending.
Did you see Suicide Squad?
No, because I am very still upset about what they did to Suicide Squad.
It
was my favorite comic. Really?
Oh, brutal.
Partial spoiler. I'm not going to spoil anything from the movie, but if you don't want to hear anything about the movie, then you're not going to want to hear what I have to say, my critique of it. So you've been warned.
Hold on. Let me take my headphones off so I can. I didn't
really enjoy it. I'll say this. I laughed a lot. But I think I realized something. James Gunn doesn't have the magic Kevin Feige does.
No.
And James Gunn has some good ideas that when put through the Marvel Studios filter, made an excellent movie. But I was really confused as to why they did Suicide Squad, this one, the way they did. Now, apparently it's getting rave reviews. They did it. They redeemed themselves. I'm like, no, they didn't.
Was Jared Leto in that? And then, okay, he was apparently didn't take that one very seriously.
He should be banned
from ever playing the Joker, ever.
I'm really mad about something in Suicide Squad. As soon as this one thing happened, I almost turned it off.
Why would you say this?
Yeah.
Is this new? The new
Suicide Squad? Yeah, it just came out. Came out like, what is it? Like, yeah, this morning, like midnight.
Oh.
Yeah.
You saw it? You were watching it?
Yeah, it's on HBO Max.
Dude, it's funny because I like took my headphones off and put my fingers in my ears, but I was like, wait a minute, because I hate having things spoiled, but I was like, I'm never going to watch this.
Wait a second.
I was like, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, as Tim's going on about Suicide Squad.
I don't want to say, it's too soon to say spoilers. I can't even talk about spoilers. It's too soon. Mm-hmm. It literally just came out, so I'll have to wait.
You advise people to go see it?
Yeah. I definitely think you really have a fun time. Go to the movies, grab some popcorn, and sit back. The first one?
I was amped for that movie. It was sold out, so I had bought like three different showings of it. I got an outfit for it, because I like love Suicide Squad. I love anything involving the Joker. And so I was amped. And then I went and saw it, and I was just like, me and like five other people that were random people that were in the theater were screaming at it. Like, and I hate that guy. I hate the person who screams at the movie theater, but we were like throwing our popcorn
sometimes
yelling.
It was bad. Who's your favorite Joker?
It was pretty bad.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Really?
But I'm mad
you liked
at him
it more than
he
Ledger?
Likes PETA.
Ooh.
So you
liked it more than Heath Ledger?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, definitely.
What about and you? I didn't think
really?
It was possible. Dude,
when I watched,
I definitely enjoyed it, but it's tough for me.
I watched Joker, that last scene where he's sitting there and he's talking to, you know, what's his that Murray?
And he goes, I'm the Joker, baby.
I'm like on the edge of my seat and I'm shaking, like watching it. Like my heart was racing. I was like, this is amazing. And
it was well done.
It was for a supervillain, and it was not your typical supervillain. I was just like, the ending blew me out of my seat.
I went and saw it twice in a row.
Joker.
The opening night.
The first one.
My problem with it was that there was no Batman. There was no villain in that movie.
It was called Joker, not Batman, no, bro.
Like, Batman would have been the villain.
Does it need to be? Actually, Batman is in it. I mean, Bruce
is
in it.
There is a villain. There's Murray. There's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I see it.
I don't know. I'd like to see Joaquin play the Joker in a Batman movie.
They're doing...
That would be cool. I agree.
In The Flash, Michael Keaton's coming back, I guess. Yeah, Michael Keaton's going to be playing Batman in The Flash movie, which is awesome. Michael Keaton, by the way, also, I think the best Marvel villain, to be completely honest. Adrian Toomes. Did you guys see
he was good.
Homecoming?
No.
It was one of the best villains I've seen in any of the Marvel movies.
He's so realistic.
A working-class guy doing cleanup on a contract. He already bought the gear, and then the government comes in and says, you're out, and he's like, come on, guys, like we already bought the equipment, like we got to pay this off, I got people to feed, and they're like, so what? And so he gets screwed over by the government, and he becomes this, like, I'm gonna take whatever I have to take kind of villain. It was good.
Yeah,
anyway,
the new Joker is based off Bernie Getz. Did you guys know that?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
who
until
that?
Recently.
Yeah.
He was it was a really big case that the NRA had got involved with. Yeah. He shot some people on the subway and was basically like, I'm sick of crime. I took it into my own hands.
Right. He was the subway vigilante guy.
Yeah.
Sung about in We Didn't Start the Fire by
Billy Joel,
Billy Joel, who looks like Michael Keaton.
Oh,
That it all comes together.
He doesn't look like Michael Keaton.
I always thought he did.
What?
Ever since I was a kid. In the 80s, he looked. I thought they looked a lot alike.
Maybe. That was back when the NRA had guts.
Anyway, John Cena. Yeah, right. John Cena in Suicide Squad, I thought was pretty good.
Oh.
I thought it was great. He's funny.
He's good.
He's good. John Cena's great. Yeah, that was rad. And Idris Elba, pretty good. But I almost turned it off.
Margot Rubio again?
Yes.
I mean, she's like the face of the movie, basically.
I almost couldn't watch it. I was angry.
Damn.
I was like, I can't believe they would
angry
do this.
Tim.
But
they're making a new Alien. They're just abusing these titles now.
It's true. Yeah.
Man. Well, how about we go to Super Chats?
Yes. Let's
Super
do
Chats.
It.
If you haven't already, give us a super chat. Smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel. Go to timcast.com. Become a member. We've got some new shows in the works, hopefully soon. The mystery show. I got so much to tell you, Cassandra.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we got a ton of stuff being done. We've got tons of people working on it. We've had a bunch of really great stories. And for those that are listening, it is coming. The branding is we're working on the artwork. And I think you'll get a kick out of the vibes we're going for. So anyway, awesome. Let's read some of these super chats. Matthew Hammond says, Cassandra is the best and needs her own TimCast.com show. Please make this happen, Tim. Her typed words are not enough.
I hate being on camera, and I only agreed to this because Tim said that I could bully PETA.
she could bully me.
I'm just kidding. I didn't say it like that.
I was like, Cassandra, would you like to come on the show Friday? And she goes, can I talk about PETA? And I was like, of course.
Did we finish talking about PETA? Was there more you were going to tell us?
I could talk about them all night.
Yeah, you were really good. I'm surprised you don't like being on camera.
Their lawyer, Jared Seriously. Goodman, he's my mortal enemy now.
I gotta read this one. Jurassic Josh says, Alex Jones, quote, human animal hybrids are real. Mainstream media. While hiding the rat with a baby's scalp. Nah, bruh, you crazy?
Yeah.
They actually call them chimeras.
Well, aren't they growing human organs in pigs?
Probably.
I heard about that. For sure. I heard about
transplants.
They ruled against it. Democrats did, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So they
got
to do it offshore or something now. They got to pay a company to do it for them.
Do you guys ever watch the Isle of Dr. Moreau?
Oh, God.
Could you imagine just like a facility full of like weird like animal people?
I watched some kind of like conspiracy documentary that claimed that there's something like that in the U.S. once, and I was really, really into it. But this was years ago, and I can't remember what it was. But it was interesting just in like the weird, like, I mean, you watch it thinking like this probably isn't true,
sure,
but it's interesting to watch.
Right.
They were claiming that there were like goat people and stuff. Now I'm like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Jesse Meek says, love your show. Can't catch it live often. Shout out to your entire crew. You all never fail to impress, especially you, Lydia. Sorry, I can't help your Twitter ratings. I do not social media. Shout out to Liberty Doll also, please.
I understand. Don't do social media.
Najma says, in California, if a woman is murdered while she's pregnant, it's considered a double homicide, no matter how
That's
far
right.
along she is.
Wow.
Is that true in California?
Right. That is correct.
Wow.
I will look this up, but yeah.
I remember hearing that. Because I was listening to something from Rand Paul, and he said, you know, he was an OBGYN, life begins at conception. Mm-hmm. And then someone argued with it saying it's not true, and they were like, in California, it's a double homicide. How can they justify that being true, but then argue the inverse when it comes to abortion? It's like, you can't have it both ways.
Great question.
You know? That would have been a good point to ask Vosh when he was here, because he said, he was asked, when does he think life begins? And he says, I don't know, birth maybe?
Birth.
It's like, okay, well then, do you think California should repeal its law about double homicide? If that's you know,
great
the case.
Yeah.
Drummerette says, I was born at 23 weeks. Knowing they're doing abortions after that time frame is sickening to me. Wow.
Wow.
Not doing them at all.
Good for you. You made it.
Some of these I can't read, but I love the righteous indignation.
Good. Yeah.
I appreciate
that.
Oh,
I'm glad
that.
People are fired up about this.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you know what? If you're fired up about this, please don't limit it to a super chat. Yes. Go out there and tell people about this. Talk about this.
Go talk to people.
Organize. Call your Congress people, your senators. Make those phone calls, man. Because I'll tell you this: people don't realize that stuff works.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine you look. These people are trying to figure out what gets them elected.
Yep.
And if someone's fired
they're
up,
cowards.
It's like, what was it? Was it Family Guy where they're like, we received 7 phone calls complaining about last night.
Yes,
that means 7 billion
guys.
People are upset.
I love Family Guy.
Well, that's how they work. Like, if a congressperson gets like 50 phone calls, they're going to be like, this is lighting people up. This is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And so congresspeople are in some sense easy to control for the same reason that the American people are easy to control. No one cultivates virtue. They take the path of least resistance. Whatever they have to do to preserve their status quo is something they're going to be willing to do. So if they feel that their political career is contingent upon them opposing the dismemberment of unborn children and humans being used for scientific research, then they might just be against it. So please write your letters. Unless you're addicted to losing, do something about this.
I would like to issue a legitimate apology to people who are upset by hearing everything we need to talk about, but just I hope you understand that we need to talk about it. Yeah. Archangel 762 says, thanks, Tim. I was in a good mood until I heard this, but more people should know this is happening.
So was I.
That's the reality. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, do we only talk about candy canes and rainbows and movies, or are we like the front line talking about some of the darkest things so that people can go watch movies and not have to worry about it?
You have to do
well. Both. They do have to worry about it.
Well, here's the thing: we talk about political issues all the time. It's culture and politics, and we also talk about some pretty serious issues, and we're able to make light of it or joke about it sometimes, make it entertaining. But there are some things that are so serious you can't really joke about them. You can't make it funny. It's just going to bring everybody's mood down. But we still got to talk about that stuff.
Dark days, man.
Yeah.
J-Mac says it's convenience. Man will sell his soul to make life a little less hard.
Yes.
How many people complain about Amazon, right and left alike, but they're dropping that stimulus check on new shoes shipped right to their door?
Oh, yep.
True.
That is a fact.
True.
Yeah. It's difficult to source all of these things, you know? It's like, how much time do we have in the day? It's Amazon's made it so easy. They're siphoning off resources, the greatest wealth transfer in history. Did you hear what Bezos said when he came back from space? And he's like, thanks, you paid for it.
Well, you know why we paid for it? Because everybody's small business got shut down because of these ridiculous lockdowns. And so we weren't able to patronize people in our neighborhoods who had built businesses up from scratch and contributed to our community. So we had to buy it from you. That's why we paid for it. Thank you, Mr. Bezos. Or I should say, you're welcome.
A Tree Broker says, I work on farms every day. There is no such thing as factory farms, the made-up lefty definition. If you'd like to talk about it, hit me up. All right, well, whatever you want to call it, I have seen the farms where the conditions are horrible, and I've seen the farms where the conditions are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I can drive around this area, and every single farm is beautiful, like a fairy tale. No joke. It's like so much fun. One of them has like llamas. Yeah.
Why haven't we gone, bro?
Yeah.
You never took me
tomorrow.
To a llama farm?
Why don't we go?
How many times I've been here, you never took me to a llama farm?
You can
farm.
Pet the llamas.
Oh, cool.
No joke.
Bro,
the llamas are chilling.
I'm just mad at you now.
They spit?
I was worried about
They're
that.
So great.
But you can pull right up, and it's like $5, and they walk up to the llamas because they know people love llamas so much.
They do.
Think about that for a farm. They're like, people want to see this so much, they'll pay us just to stand here. Mm. But then look at some of these other farms where it's all dirt and mud and they're loaded up and it's like, call that whatever you want to call it. Mm. But no one's going to be going there to pet the muddy, diseased animals.
Oh, how sad, dude.
It's, yeah,
it's actually
feces
really sad.
And blood. There'll be pools of feces and blood, giant pools of it outside where they like wash everything off with a hose and it just soaks into the ground water and contaminates. And they won't let drones fly overhead to take pictures.
This
Absolute
was the,
disgust.
This is the amazing thing about the farms I went to in California where the cows could do whatever they wanted. Because I was like, do you milk them? He's like, oh, they go in the machine. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, because it's too much milk. It hurts them. So they go in the machine, and the machine just, you know, gets the milk out for them. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, they love it. And all the cows were like jumping up and down. They were happy. They were like hanging out and having friends. And I was like, wow. In New Zealand, it was like that too.
Cute.
I drove from Auckland to Wellington, New Zealand. There's just cows and sheep everywhere. And they're just happy as can be, man. It's good stuff. All right. Fiery Shark says, my grandfather worked at a slaughterhouse in the 90s. He killed 500 pigs a day. And let's just say the stun stick used to knock unconscious was never used because too slow. He would have been fired. It's sad.
That is really sad.
I'm going to go curl up in a ball and have a good cry after this.
Yeah, this is a tough episode. Wow.
Jeez.
All right. Ian Crossland on Twitter on Super Chat says, Tim, can you ask Ian to talk about graphene more? It's a username, Ian
Dude,
Crossland,
I can't, like,
and it's your
I did
picture.
See Ian like
graphene is a
what
mono.
Was the joke? Yesterday
called him graphene.
No,
he's on podcast.
You said
that
he replaced something with graphene. What was that?
Oh, we have footage of that. We were improvising. we brought something up about graphene. I think we were like doing a fake Timcast episode and oh man!
And Seamus was pretending to be Ian, and that said something about like,
about graphene, dude. I don't remember.
We were talking about fluoride, and there's like replace the.
Well, he's like, yeah, replace. We need to replace the fluoride with graphene.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Graphene tattoos.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'll definitely talk about graphene more. Thanks for the super chat.
Thanks,
Ian. Yeah, Ian had nothing to do with that.
That's right. That's
what's funny is because
why do simple gags like that get me? Just like someone making a fake Ian account.
You got
like,
Seamus.
Sorry, I keep going.
We need a meme of Ian snorting graphene.
Oh my gosh.
Don't do that.
Please don't do that. Oh my gosh, no.
All right, the Raptor's Talon says, Mr. Freedom Tunes. Yes. Ian was simply saying that the article had loaded language in it. Ian, please be more careful about what you call propaganda. It's difficult enough to listen to this episode. We don't need an argument about loaded language.
Yeah, I'll use...
I thought the language was fine.
I'll use extreme examples sometimes to make my point, and it can evoke an emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was fine with the language.
Whoa.
PRCE5 says, years ago, Marcus Luttrell, the Navy SEAL, that lone survivor is about, chased people who killed his dog 100 miles an hour. Check out the 911 call. Crazy.
Wow. Good for him, John Wick.
Man.
Yeah.
John Wick. That's why it's a good movie. You know why? Because I understood.
Totally identify with that.
Totally understood.
100%.
That little dog, and he's just like, I know I have to kill
every single
person.
I keep thinking about Bucko, man. How dare you. Like, they're property, but they're dudes. They're like people. They have personalities.
I wouldn't say they're people, but they do have personalities.
In some countries actually say that elephants are people. They give them, and dolphins, because they're so smart. They give them personal.
Bucko hangs out. He's the cat. And so, like, we were all chilling in the living room with, like, the movie on, and he comes in and jumps up on a chair, and he's, like, sitting in a chair, and everybody, and, you know, he's doing his thing.
Hey, Tim.
If he was bigger than me, he'd definitely be in.
Remember yesterday when I said I was going to
control?
When you said what?
Well, that's true. If the cat is bigger than you, that cat, I mean, look at tigers, you know? Sometimes they go missing.
Yeah,
bro, Tim, I told you yesterday that I was gonna wear a suit, and then it was going to be my podcast because I was the one wearing a suit.
It looks great. It's red, white, and blue.
This is a coup. That's the whole reason I brought this
cast
suit.
IRL?
Yeah, exactly. This is Seamus Cast IRL. I want everyone at home to know.
I'm going to tell everyone to start calling you James.
Seamus? Dude, then it'll just be Jimcast IRL. Bro, why am I not reading the super chats? This is my podcast now. I want to thank I want to thank Tim for coming by. And
Jim Cast.
He just came by.
So can we call you Shim for short?
Shimcast IRL. Shim. Shimmy no. Sham?
Seamus is Gaelic for James.
That's right.
Yeah. And then what's James, like British?
James is a British version of Jacob.
How
which
dare
means supplanter,
they?
Or oh, wow. who grabs at the
Look
heel.
At that.
Yes.
Supplanting.
So if that if
and if Noman has to omen, that means I replace you, bro.
That's
if
right.
James is Jim, then Seamus is Shim.
That's right. Shim Sham Coglin is what they call me. So they call me on the south side. You know what they really call me on the south side? Afraid.
I
don't go there often.
Nice. All right, let's see. Little Tales Farm says, Tim, when our black Iam Semani chickens, we just got start laying eggs, I'll send you some. They are highly sought after and beautiful. P.S. Ooh. Thanks for the idea, Chicken City.
Yes.
We're filming building ours now. Ooh.
Good for you.
We are in construction for the new Chicken City, so.
That's right.
We needed a better way to get the cameras in, and so it was going to take really long cables, and we were like, we need to move this to better have the, like, to have the layout better. And so now there's also a dog on the property too, which is going to, it's basically all the critters are gone. And we are also incubating some of the babies. If you want to send eggs, what about some fertilized ones that we can put in the incubator and then make more chickens? Yeah, we're growing them.
That's right.
Got the incubator going. And
Tim showed me he has a flashlight, special like egg flashlight. You put the egg on the flashlight and you can see like the blood vessels inside the egg.
You can see the chicken actually doing chicken stuff.
Oh, wow.
Inside the egg. It's so cool.
Yep. All right. Let's see what we got. Eric Britt says, PETA kills animals on a regular basis, claiming that they are saving them. Look it up.
Are they doing
anything good? PETAKillsAnimals.com for more on that.
Wow.
Are they doing anything good for animal rights?
No.
Like, what is the problem? What happened? They used to be, right?
No. I think that it's always been a cash grab. See, when they take these animals, anytime that an animal is seized under the Endangered Species Act, the government will pay for their care. They basically pay child support and welfare. And so all of this, it's all about money. I don't believe that they are actually genuinely doing anything other than trying to get teenage girls to do naked stunts for their...
Yeah,
for
isn't
their,
that disgusting?
I hate PETA.
Yeah, no, I noticed that too. They've also done like a lot of anti-Catholic stuff too. I know they try to get real edgy by like having naked women in their ads and bashing the church. It's like, whoa, you're so contrarian. They're horrible for so many reasons.
Yeah, I can't think of anything good that they've done. I mean, maybe letting people see what happens to like baby chicks.
Yeah.
You know, they've released some footage of that, but I don't even think that they're the ones that got it. I think they just steal it from other people. Like, you know, there was Phil up in Canada who blew the whistle on Marineland, and he was a walrus trainer, and he did all these amazing things. And then when Marineland came after him and started, you know, the lawsuits, PETA was nowhere to be found. They were fundraising off his name, and then they did not help at all with his legal fees or anything like that. And they're still fundraising using Marineland's name, and they're just terrible. I hate them. I don't like to say that.
Tell
I hate
us how you
things.
Really feel. Yeah. Tell us how you really feel, Cassandra.
I mean, I honestly, their vice president blocked me on Twitter today. Yeah, I've been on a crusade, and it's not ending ever. You guys know how I am when people like hurt my friends. These guys went after my friends, and now it's war.
We got a super chat for you. Bro Skadoodle says, Cassandra, have you ever watched the Penn and Teller's BS episode on PETA?
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I think it was on YouTube, if people want to go watch it. Yeah. Highly recommend. It's great.
The whole BS, can't say it, obviously, bullish, amazing show by Penn and Teller. However, they did mention that the show is very loaded.
Yeah.
So the episode on PETA was good. You can factor the stuff, but they... It's a loaded show, so you gotta make sure you keep that watchful eye.
I mean, the things that they say are true, though.
No, for sure.
I mean, these are all facts that you can go... If you go to PETAKillsAnimals.com, they have all the documents from the Virginia inspectors. They have, you know, a plethora of information that you can go dig through yourself. It's not like opinion pieces. Like, they have the documents. They have the photos. I highly recommend going and looking at it.
I really think you'd be great if you did a podcast. I know you said you don't like being on camera, and I don't want to pressure you. I'm just telling you, I think you'd do great.
No, I ramble. I've been rambling this
You've
whole show.
Great.
I get but nervous.
Right. She is going to contribute to our new Mysteries podcast.
That's right.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're going to have a lot of stuff. It's going to be fun. We're actually planning on hiring an additional writer. So we've got Shane Cashman. He does once a week these awesome. Long form stories. They're really good stuff. It's really good stuff. Great. Exploring these ideas and like checking out these weird spooky mysteries. And then we're going to add articles to the show, which are like short form news. So like when there's a UFO sighting or a government report, or like there was a Bigfoot sighting recently. Did you guys see this?
No,
is it in West Virginia?
I don't know, but
we have Bigfoot hunters.
All right, I forget to wear my shirt one day and go outside, and all of a sudden it's Bigfoot sighting. It's extremely
offensive. I don't believe it's really a photo of Bigfoot, but sure. Apparently, so it's like we're gonna have someone writing about the unexplained and you know these fun stories. We're very skeptical. It's a very academic approach to things, but it's fun to be like, I wonder what is that?
Are you skeptical of Bigfoot?
Knowing. Bigfoot, I do not believe exists.
I bet there used to be giant hominids like, what was it, Denisovans?
Denisovans, I've heard
of those. But that they're extinct.
There's a Bigfoot group that actually meets in our neighborhood.
Of course. Yes, of course there is.
And there's, you know, there's people who swear that there's a juvenile Bigfoot that live around our
We've been talking about the underground caves on Earth, like that we don't really know much about, and there could be lots of life that has been living underground.
What if they have the ability to phase through solid matter? And that's why we don't see them, because as soon as they notice they're there, they just slink down underground by phasing through matter.
That's more realistic than
My community is so wholesome that this woman got lost while she was walking her dog. And she was fine. She just took a wrong turn and it was dark out. Oh. Nobody could find her. But people had posted in our neighborhood group being like, hey, this woman's missing. We need to go find her. And everybody went looking for her. And nobody would even entertain the possibility that she had been hurt by a human or kidnapped or something. Everybody was just convinced that if she had been taken, it was by Bigfoot.
Definitely.
And I was like, I love my neighborhood.
But why would anyone in your neighborhood hurt somebody?
Right. We have no crime there.
Right. There's no way she got hurt. It had to have been Bigfoot.
Of course. Yeah. And everybody was earnestly like, you know, if it was, it would have had to have been a creature that was very tall and had arms like a human, but not a human, because duh. And it was just like so cute.
I will say though, people got at the range got really mad because during the search, they were walking, sweeping through the forest.
Yeah.
And people were actively shooting. There's a range on the mountain.
Wow, what?
And they were like, what are you doing? Can't you hear what's going on? You can't walk this way. It's so dangerous. But, you know, they weren't really paying attention.
Yeah.
All right. Christopher Coulter says, morally indefensible acts remain indefensible despite the scientific value. And there is a perverse incentive structure inherent to the argument, even if the scientists have no direct involvement in the abortion of the child.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
That's a really, really good point.
Jeez, perverse science. Man, what a debate.
Well, this is why we need philosophy, and there's so many scientists who scoff at this, too. I've heard people who are very popular, I won't name names, but who consider themselves activists for science, and they'll say, well, science gets you real results and philosophy's stupid. It's like, all right, What year is it? You know, it's 2021. We still don't have a perfectly completed science of diet, frankly. People still argue for what we should be eating, but we've been able to create bombs using the scientific method that have killed 200,000 people with one drop, right? In Hiroshima, Nagasaki, I should say two drops. My point is, science is an incredibly powerful tool, but it needs to be constrained by ethics, which is philosophy.
Here's a good one. Paul Thongkam says, there's an episode of Stargate SG-1 where there's people living in a dome on a polluted planet. The dome was shrinking. The computer AI solution was to send people outside the dome to die and erase the memory of that person from citizen memory.
That sounds good.
I just saw this. It was just on recently, and it's a really good episode. Basically, what happens is, for those unfamiliar with Stargate, there is a portal. It's called the Stargate. Oh. And they're exploring a network of addresses they have to all these different planets. They go to one, and they send this machine, like the drone, and then they see the whole planet. It's like the atmosphere is totally toxic. You'll die. And then they drive forward, and it enters this weird force field where everything's normal looking, trees and buildings, and they're like, whoa. So they put on suits, they go, and they find the city of about 1,700 people. And they're like, yeah, we're the last survivors on this planet. How did you get here? And there's a council with four people on it. And they are trying to discuss, you know, about, you know, saving lives or something. We got to get you out of here. And then the next day, the council only has three people. And they're like, what happened to the lady? And they're like, what lady? And like the fourth person. They're like, there was no fourth person. There's never been a fourth person. They wore this thing called the Link, which connected their brains to the central AI. And what they thought it was giving them access to the summation of their knowledge. And then eventually they end up discovering that the force field is shrinking because the power, it's running out. And the city used to have 100,000 people in it, and it had been diminished. And there was one guy, and they go to his house, and he's got a wife. And the wife is helping one of the characters decipher like old texts. And then all of a sudden, one day, the woman gets up and then walks straight outside the force field and just dies. Huh. And you don't see what happens. She just walks out. And then when they go to the husband, they're like, what happened to your wife? And he goes, I don't have a wife. I've never been married. And so the AI was like, to prevent chaos and rioting and panic, just erase using the Link into people's minds to erase their memory of the people. One by one, they're just disappearing. They wouldn't be able to find a solution because they didn't know there was a problem. And that's a really good point about AI too, is that the AI is like, this is going to allow them to survive as long as possible. But with human ingenuity, perhaps if they knew there was a problem, they could have fixed their energy crisis, but the machine didn't care. It's just serving its purpose.
I mean, unfortunately, this is what happens with a lot of totalitarian leaders. They say things like, well, I will improve the human condition for everyone if I just kill this handful of people. And then it ends up spiraling out of control, and it's more than a handful of people, but you don't need some dystopian artificial intelligence to get you there. We've seen it before.
Yeah, yep. Social media censorship. If you don't know there's a problem, how are you going to fix it? You censor the problem away, then it's going
to
fester.
Well, but I'm talking even prior to social media. People in control are very good at masquerading their homicidal lust for a concern for humanity. Oh, yeah, well, we'll actually help people by doing this.
Ja B says, Cassandra, will you please do a video on the Highgate Cemetery / vampire? I'm fascinated by it.
Possibly.
What is that?
I'm not actually sure. I know that I've heard the name, but I am blanking.
Let's look it up for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Jennifer Presley says, Tim, so you weren't one of us kids that had walkie-talkies in the late 80s? In the late 80s, I was three.
I had walkie-talkies.
Three years old.
Ian, why you got to flex like that, bro?
Was flex from the 70s, yeah.
That's great. Every time I hear Ian is 40, I don't believe it.
Holla back at you. I used to have a Ricky Dater Roper backpack. Goonies for life.
We had walkie-talkies in the 90s.
Yeah, I had walkie-talkies as a kid in like the 90s, early 2000s, bro.
I had a rotary phone when I was growing up.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, remember how cool you thought a walkie-talkie was, and now you can FaceTime people, and it's like, eh.
Right. There's no novelty anymore.
Anywhere on the world, you can walkie-talkie anyone anywhere.
Dude, it's like playing with cheat codes.
That's so true.
Yeah, I tried to get my daughter walkie-talkies because I was like, oh, you can, like, talk to your friend. She's just down the street. She's like, I'll just Skype her.
She's like, I can literally just, you know what? I can see her face and have an oppie fuzzy. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that when you watch movies like Demolition Man, they really thought back in the 80s and early 90s that the future would be payphones with like cameras so you could see people.
Nope.
Or like they would go to their wall and press the button and they would see it's like a video phone was the idea. And then we did make it, but Nobody predicted that we'd have computers in our pockets.
You know, it's ironic. It would actually probably be better for humanity if our interface technology for looking at someone else's face when they're far away from us was a kind of payphone structure, because we wouldn't have this thing in our pocket all the time, distracting us from everything.
What was it? There's this show, maybe it's Black Mirror, where like
probably
people got banned from society. So when you saw them, you just saw like a silhouette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. They're muted.
They're muted. You could block people in real life.
That is Black Mirror, yeah.
But that's kind of dumb, because what if they're nuts and they're going to attack you?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You need too bad. Like,
you simply hit undo.
Yeah.
But you don't know if, like, you can't see them.
You just hit edit undo after they stab you. You're good.
That's right. You're like something.
It's all a simulation anyway.
Stabbed.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to lie to you. There have been times when I've been drawing on paper and I make a mistake and for half a second, I think, to click undo.
Oh, no.
If you could develop precognition and see 5 seconds into the future, would you?
No.
Really?
Yeah. No.
What about you, Cassandra?
I don't think so.
Wait, what was that?
If you could develop precognition and have the ability to see 5 seconds into the future, would you?
Yes.
I would,
Why?
Too.
No.
Because you'd be able to predict. Have you ever seen the movie Next?
No.
No.
This is really, so it's Nicolas Cage.
I have seen this.
I think it's a great movie. I think it's really, it's fun. He can see a certain amount of time into the future. So he's able to make these moves like perfectly. But there's one scene, it's brilliant, where he's looking for someone in a room in an industrial setting. And then you see him walk forward. And then all of a sudden, four versions of him walk out in each different direction. Cause what he's doing is he's walking forward and then using his precognition, looking at what happens if he walks forward and turns left, walks forward, turns right, walks forward, goes forward again, turns left. And so he's seeing everything all at once. And then he goes, they're there in the back of the left room. And then he just instantly knows, because he can see. It's not just about seeing the future. It's about seeing the future of all the different possibilities of the actions you might take.
But what did we just talk about earlier? You get cheat codes. Things are boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the world, we have the cheat codes. Now we just still need to beat the game, but it's boring because we have all the cheat codes. But it's like, no, you still got to beat it. You still got to play it through with the cheat codes.
I mean, maybe, you know, I'd be down to be fun. You know, you'd go skateboarding, you'd never get hurt ever again.
Is it fun to skateboard if there's no risk?
Yes.
You don't think that adds to the thrill at all?
A little bit, but it would be great because you'd be like, I want to try the craziest trick, and then you see the future of you falling and breaking your leg. I won't try that one.
Oh, I won't do that.
You still got to get the skills to be able to do the trick. You can't just pretend. You can't just jump on a rail if you've never skated before. You got to get good.
But so here's the thing. What if there are things which are inherently risky, and if you do them enough to get good, you have to get hurt at some point, but you never allow yourself to get hurt because of the precognition, so
and
you never get good.
And you've got weak mental fortitude.
So you never get good.
Oh, interesting.
You have a weak mind.
The fear of the risk prevents you from taking it.
But what if you don't know? What if you don't? So, like, what if, all right, let's say it is just, it's a fact that in order to get good at skateboarding, you have to hurt yourself X number of times. Yeah.
It happens.
But you have this precognition. And you avoid anything that's going to hurt you because you think there's a way of getting good without getting hurt.
It's very, very simple. Then you have a weak mind. I go skating every day and I know I'm going to fall. And I fell several times today. Mm-hmm. Granted, I've been rollerblading more than skateboarding recently.
Sure, but you get out there and you skate. But before you fall, you don't know that you're any more likely to fall than you were at any other time when you get on your skateboard, right? It just happens unexpectedly. I think if you expect it, it makes you less likely to do it.
No, you expect to fall. That's how you.
But you don't
hurt.
Know for sure you're going to fall. Like if you could see 5 seconds into the future and you knew you were going to fall off your skateboard this time, you might be less likely to do it.
Well, it depends because a bail isn't a slam.
Okay.
Sometimes you slam and slamming messes you up and takes you out. Mm. Bailing is normal. Bailing is you can get hurt a little bit. Bailing is when you choose to bail off of the trick, and slamming is when you unexpectedly get hurt.
I think that's an interesting point.
I got to be honest, getting hurt less, you'd become way better.
You make a good point, though, Seamus, because sometimes mistakes are what make us better.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And so, like, saying the wrong thing to someone that upsets them in the short term might hurt, but make you both stronger people afterwards. And,
yeah.
Luke Keller says, Tim, the guy who said that the term factory farms is a fake made-up word used by MSM to destroy farmers is correct. The vast majority of farms are family-owned and operated. 99% of beef cattle are owned by family farms. It's why we are most under assault.
It sounds like a psyop. What is this? Is this insane world?
I didn't say that that factory farms were the overwhelming majority.
Oh, right.
I didn't say that most farms are factory farms. I said there are farms that are mistreating animals.
Right.
It happens. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But all the farms out here, they're so beautiful.
It's so much fun
when you go. Like, I went to one farm, and they had this big pen, and they had, like, 100 chickens, and it was hilarious just watching them all do it. There was a young rooster. It was tiny, and he was like smack talking and like strutting around, and I'm like, look at this pathetic little thing. It's hilarious. And then you walk over and the goats are jumping off stuff, and you know, it's hilarious.
Dude, you have a rooster that talks some smack on the compound.
He does.
Yes. Yeah. We didn't know he had a rooster, too. We thought he was a chick.
He's just constantly screaming all the time. He goes, Mah!
He doesn't have the spikes on his feet. It's really interesting. So the farmer thought it was a hen, a baby, a female. And so we weren't expecting it a rooster. And then all of a sudden started becoming a rooster and going, Argh! And we were like, what was that?
Tim, magic. I think we should just eat it.
But there's no foot spikes, you know, like the roosters have
It. That's fine with me.
No, I guess you don't eat rooster.
No.
Cause it's like,
yeah, they're tough and
stringy. Yeah, but here's the tough thing. And stringy,
but
yeah.
There has to be something. All right. I'm just saying your rooster's broken. He screams all day long. It's not just in the morning when the sun comes up.
That's
he's
a myth, bro.
Every couple minutes. Every
chickens,
couple
minutes. That's roosters. Do
are roosters just, they just scream all the time?
Yes.
I'm such a city slicker. I didn't know this.
That's
he
right.
just sits there and screams all day.
But not all
that's
the time. It's so weird. Sometimes
it's
he
a
just
threat.
This dude's just been screaming
warning,
all the time.
Warning predators.
He's just talking smack. Well, he warned me. I'm scared of him.
I'm really glad too, because roosters will sacrifice themselves to protect the ladies. And it's really funny when we let them out into the garden to do their daily, you know, chicken business. He won't eat. He'll just like stand there watching as all the ladies are eating and enjoying themselves.
I like him now.
You know, imagine that. Imagine a world where the women are safe and comfortable and they're all, you know, happily going around eating all our little zucchinis because there is a big, strong rooster who's like, I will forego eating for now to make sure you can all eat safely.
I love him.
Would that impose any sort of role on the women? Because then that's not okay.
Chicken patriarchy.
Exactly.
I love it.
You can get right up in his face and he'll still scream at you. But yeah, it's real weird. Sure. Like his eyes are still, he'll be looking at you and he's like,
I love it. I love that.
Like
in order
a
to know
foot away.
So we know Ian has gotten in the rooster's face.
I know
that you've gotten like close.
Yeah,
to
I got.
Like, hey,
I was like eye contact, you know.
Yeah.
And then he got pecked, and he's like, "I wish I'd."
There was a
foresight.
Cage between us. I love him, but he's moving. We're moving the roosters outside of my room.
Oh gosh.
So I may want to murder that thing at some point. I don't know.
You will. Yeah. No. You're certainly going to want to murder.
He's loud.
At
4 a.m. Sometimes.
Yes.
5
Maybe you should need to stop waking up at 7 p.m.
I do keep weird hours.
That's also true. Yeah,
yes,
the weird hours
yeah.
thing.
We've had like guests who are really excited. Like, I really want to meet Ian. I'm so excited. He's sleeping.
Too bad.
And they're like, but I got to leave at like 6. Like,
oh,
Ian's asleep.
Oh,
that's
sad. Yeah, I'll have to meet him next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a fabulous Friday night. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks
it's
for
been
watching
a whole
Timcast.
Lot of fun. You can follow the show at TimCastIRL basically everywhere. And you can follow me personally at TimCast. Go to TimCast.com. Become a member. Help support our fierce and independent journalism from people like Cassandra.
Amen.
Thank you.
Do you want to shout anything out?
It is not enough to not support PETA. We must be actively anti-PETA. Yes!
I love
That's
it.
I love it.
There you go.
You rock. Thanks for coming, everyone. Ian Crossland. Peace and love.
I love what you just said. I'm absolutely going to steal it. Let's just pretend it was original when I say it.
Shim Sham Coglin.
It's Shim Sham Coglin. This has been Shimcast IRL. I want everybody to know. It's not enough to oppose abortion. We have to be actively anti-abortion. And thank you for watching. I know we got into some dark topics, but it was well worth it. God bless all of you. Please pray the rosary for an end to abortion and do everything that you can. Talk to people about this. If you know someone considering an abortion, be brave. Tell them, you know, that this is an unborn child. Give them the information that they need in order to choose life.
I think offer them support.
Yes.
You know, like be compassionate.
Say, yes, I will help you if you have this child. Yeah. Please, you should, because that is a child. And what you're going to do is end their life.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother used to work in an anti-abortion support clinic where mm-hmm. these people would go if they were thinking about having an abortion. My mom was like, please don't have an abortion. We have these clothes, we have diapers, we have everything you need. And I thought that was wonderful because that was one of the greatest things she did. I'm on the side of Seamus here. I don't think that anybody should have an abortion ever. Mm-hmm. So if you know somebody who's considering having an abortion, please direct them to what's it called, Seamus? What's it called?
A crisis pregnancy center. It's important to know that many, many women who have had abortions say that it's because they didn't feel they had any other option. They had no other support.
Yes.
You have to be that support for
them. That's right. Send them to a crisis pregnancy center.
They will help them.
I can't stand the meme from the left where they say like conservatives don't, you know, are pro-life until the baby's born. And I'm like, I don't think they follow any conservatives because like, I follow a bunch of conservatives and they're always posting about orphanages and like taking care of kids and adopting and providing support and donating. And I'm like, I don't think that's true. I think you just want to believe it's true because it kind of absolves you of some responsibility to blame someone else.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, 100%. It's projection. It's projection, right? Because they tend not to care all that much for the groups that they advocate for. I mean, they imagine if the same standards were applied to them. They'll say things like, oh, you're pro-life. How can you be pro-life if you haven't adopted any children? Yeah. All right, well, like how many refugees have you paid to house as yourself? None of them do. I actually know many pro-life people who have adopted children. I don't really know left-wing people who have put money on the table to help the marginalized groups that they claim to advocate for.
I know so many conservative people who are very pro-life and have adopted children. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
There's Gina Loudon. There's all kinds of people who are doing that.
That's true.
So yeah,
you gotta get out of that propaganda bubble, man. Because you're allowed to have whatever politics you want. So long as you can recognize, like, objective reality, then we all kind of disagree on a lot of things, but at least we can have real conversations about things that we, for this show, nightmarish. But I'll leave it there. Did you shout out your Twitter yet?
I didn't. You guys are more than welcome to follow me at Sour Patch Lids, LYDS, on Twitter. I routinely tweet extremely pro-life things. Mm-hmm. That is my hill to die on. So that's why. Like, tonight's show is definitely why that happened, so... Yeah, follow me there.
Yeah, myself as well, at Seamus_Coughlin. I tweet a lot of pro-life stuff. Freedom Tunes is my YouTube channel.
And
if you want to check that out.
We did another Fauci video.
Tim and I did another Fauci cartoon. Tim voiced Fauci. It was beautiful. I thought the cartoon came out very well, so check that out. And thank you for tuning in to Shimcast IRL.
That's right.
Thank you guys for being my guest. Tim, I always appreciate when you come on.
Thanks.
Lydia, you too.
Thanks, Seamus.
Thanks for having me,
Cassandra.
Seamus.
I really,
it's been
course.
Really fun.
Anytime. Anytime, of course. Yeah, guys.
Go to timcast.com, become a member, and we'll see you all. I don't think we're going to have the vlog up tomorrow because we're shuffling around. We hired more people because we're trying to make the vlog daily, but maybe Sunday. So youtube.com/castcastle. If you've been missing these episodes, you are really missing out because Kent has been doing animations.
Oh my gosh.
There was this one amazing where Ian's like, I'm on the roof and I decided to let down my magnetic force field and then this wolf hominid comes.
Dude, it was crazy.
And he wants to eat me. And then Ian goes, I was high.
I was stoned as a motherfucker up on the roof.
All right.
Yo.
Check out the vlogs, man. We'll see you all next time.
Bye, guys.